I can't leave her alone. I've been fiending for chocolate, mommy.
Yeah, it's your boy John Doe. You know what time it is, baby. It's Chocolate City Radio.
Hey, what they do, man? It's your homeboy Blood Raw Chickadee, you feel me? B. Roll Steam, Mr. Motherfucking Ric Flair, jumping off the dresser that year. Now tell me, right now you chillin' with my home girl, Chuck Mommy. You feel me on Chocolate City Radio? Yeah, this shit about to get real wet, homie. Now tell me.
What's happening? This is your man Money D, representing Mask and Digital Underground. And when I'm not having unprotected sex with your mama, I'm chilling out, riding a chocolate wave with my girl Chalk Mommy. You know how we do. We be killing them.
You're listening to The Vibes right now, hosted by the goddess, the queen, my babes, Chalk Mommy. And all of us right now, we all ride in the chocolate wave, because that's the only wave to ride on, isn't it? It's your boy Dylan Dillinger cruising. Let's get it. Boom, bang.
Only Murphy Lee, you know what I'm talking about? This goes out to all my humans. Right now, you riding the wave right here on Chocolate City Radio, motherfuckers. And I'm the one and only Murphy Lee, you know what I'm talking about? Right here with Chalk Mommy. That's what we do. We get it in, all right? You see me.
What's up, everyone? This is your girl, Danny D. Just coming in to let y'all know that I love riding the chocolate wave with my favorite radio host, Chalk Mommy.
I can't leave her alone. I've been fiending for chocolate, mommy.
What up? This is your boy Noah Jones, Mr. Get With The Movement or Move It himself. And right now I'm riding the chocolate wave with my girl Chalk Mommy. Holla at your boy.
This is that baby making music.
Hey, this is Vin Keaton, and I'm chilling with Chalk Mommy on Chocolate City Radio, the illest sex talk show.
We can do it all night long.
Hey, yo, what's good, Ja? This is Dude Stylistic. And right now, I'm riding a chocolate wave with my homegirl, Chalk Mommy. Let's get it!
What's up, y'all? This your boy, Carter B of 4Play Media Group, and I'm riding a chocolate wave with the Chalk Mommy herself.
What it is, man? Hey, this your boy's Cloud9 right here. You know what I'm saying? And what we doing is we riding the chocolate wave. Hey, got our motherfucking goggles on and everything. Let's do it. Hey, Chalk Mommy, fuck with your boys, man. Cloud9. Yo.
I can't leave her alone. I've been fiending for chocolate, mommy.
Welcome to Chocolate City Radio. Tonight's show is going to be so awesome. It's called Artist Step Your Game Up. I was having a good conversation with a friend of mine, Rikers, and I had a conversation with Ant and Jerry Dolby from Hype Magazine, and he writes for other sites. And me and Rikers was talking about artists and how they do a lot of shit backwards. It's like somehow or another, they got their priorities fucked up. So I was like, maybe we should do a show on, you know, what they need to do to get on track, to brand their company, brand their name, brand their product, just brand themselves as a whole. You know what I mean? And I was like, you know what? This show is not going to be just, it's not going to be long enough. It's not, one night is not going to be long enough. So I'm like, we got to do like two nights. So we decided to do Friday night. I mean, I'm bugging. I've been up all morning. I've been in school all day. So we decided to do tonight, which is Tuesday, and part two on Friday. And it's a lot of good key speakers online that's going to speak tonight. So I'm going to bring in Ashton, and then I'm going to bring in Anthony because he's got his hand up, and then I see another 919 area code, which is from my state, North Carolina. North Carolina, oh, I'm not going to say go ahead and raise up because that's going to remind me of Petey Pablo, and I don't rock with him like that. Hey, Ashton.
How you doing, lady?
I'm tired, I'm sleepy, but I'm excited about the show tonight because anytime I can give away some free knowledge and help somebody grow or increase their mental intake, I'm happy. I'm happy as fuck. You know what I mean? And tonight is like one of those shows that has to be done. And it's 8 days into the new year. So my goal is for artists to take what the hell they learned tonight, if they take anything, because, you know, some artists is hard-headed. Like, you talk to them and shit just don't register. But it's like for them to take key advice from people that's been there and done that and apply it to their long-term goals on how to succeed as a person in the industry and, you know, as a businessman / woman, depending on what gender that they are. So I've been dreaming about this show. I was super hype about the show and everything like that. And I was like, all right, here we go. Let's do it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring Ant on. And then Rikers is like, supposed to call in at 10 o'clock. I'll let him call in at 10 o'clock, but, you know, he's on his New York shit. He on that New York now. Not disrespect to New York, but hi, shit, I don't care. Hold on. Hi, Aunt.
Hey, what's up? How you doing, Chuck?
I'm doing fine. How you doing?
I'm good. Leave my boy Mike alone.
Hey, you know what? I'm not going to complain too much because you and Rikers and all the other people that are calling in, y'all are taking time out of your schedule as accomplished businessmen to kick knowledge for free. Like, this show is so free that any, like, you call in tonight, you get free knowledge. If you didn't catch it all, you get to go back and listen to the archives and get more free knowledge. So every time you listen to this show, you're going to learn something totally different than before.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
So I'm just like, I'm like excited about that. So go ahead and introduce yourself.
Ant, you know, formerly worked with, used to work with Interscope Records back when 50 Cent first got signed. Shady Records, you know, came up and about, you know. So, you know, I was there when the big signing happened. He went 10 times platinum with a score of diamond now. So whatever you want to know, I mean, for my knowledge, I could definitely put y'all on to what I experienced.
And how long were you in the industry?
Well, I was in the industry from how can I say, like, when I left high school, and you know, I went to college for years to play ball, and then I came out and got into the music industry, like, around 2002. And I stayed in it until, like, 2006.
Hmm.
About 4 years. 4 years and some months.
Hmm.
You know, so.
You know, my question is, like, being in the industry, what is the one thing that you see artists making a mistake over and over and over? Like, different artists, but they're making the same mistake. What do you see that a lot of? What particular mistakes do you see?
Well, what I seen was signing deals at the end of the year. I don't know why artists do it to themselves because, like, for example, Trinidad James, but that was a big sign. $2 million, you don't get deals like that no more. But I'm not gonna comment on that, how he did it. He did the right thing. He went social media, which is a benefit for back in the days when I was on. And social media is like a big step in this business now. Like, if you could brand yourself, you can market yourself, you get to a lot of places. But back then, when you sign deals at the end of the year, it's like they shelf you. That's like a tax write off to the record labels.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So that's what I learned in this biz.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So, but Trinidad James, I mean, that man against the brother, but it's looking like hopefully he come out with next hit. But the way he's looking now, it looks like it's going to be a tax write-off to Def Jam.
Really?
Yeah, that's my opinion. I don't know how it's really going to work, but that's my opinion.
Because, see, I'm getting more into the music and the behind the scenes and stuff like that, because I can honestly say, like, doing the radio, I work with different artists that come on the show because I promote a lot for my show, and then I click with the artists that come on my show. No, I don't try to fuck them because business and pleasure don't mix. It's just
you're absolutely right.
You can't focus, and
because
I'm never gonna cross that line. So I'm more focused on getting them exposure through my fan base, and you know, letting their fan base see them in a more consistent manner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like, you know, I worked with different artists. And for me, and this is just me speaking, I can't stand artists in my hometown. I call them hood stars because when they get a buzz in the hood, they feel like that's it. They don't want to go past the corner.
Yes.
They don't go past the block. You got two or three clubs when you go in. You know, people might fuck with you like that, and they're happy with that. And then it's like, okay, you're out here in the street, but how are you reaching other people that don't live here? How are you handling your Twitter? Twitter? I don't got a Twitter. Like, why the fuck you have a Twitter? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're going to be in this stadium and you're going to be in the industry, then you need to reach out in every way that you can. Like, the street game, I'm never going to say don't put in the street work. I'm never going to say that. But
you need that credibility no matter what.
Yes. At the same time, come back and do that internet shit too, because a lot of people are getting noticed on the internet, whether they're making fucked up videos, good videos, music. I mean, it's like you're getting a lot of people getting lucky. Even if you make a parody of a song, if your bars are good, a motherfucker might sign you. You might look up and be like, damn.
That's absolutely true. But you definitely gonna need a street credibility in like the mixtapes and all that. You definitely gonna need that. Because, for example, Meek Mills, who is out when the Hottest Rap is out right now, his mixtapes, Gene Chasers and all that, those are street credibility. You know, the album was good. It shows the corporate version of Meek Mills, but his street credibility would got him that fan base. And then, for example, like back then, 50 Cent, he came out like he didn't care. Now you see 50 Cent now, he's more corporate, more branded. He's walking his way up to where he's at now. So internet is really important when it comes to branding yourself, marketing yourself. And that's like, for example, I moved from the music industry to the sports business, whereas, you know, credibility is really important in that business. So, you know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like the same thing when it comes to marketing. So these artists do not depend on your label to push you. That's the problem with some of these artists. They depend on their label to, like, all right, you got fine. Now what? That means you have to grind more to stay on top. And some of these artists don't understand that when they sign, like, all right, that's it, the work is over. Nah, you need to get the extra money. You need to get that next contract to your second album. That's where you put in work. These artists, they don't understand it. They feel that I got signed, my album went platinum or gold. Now the work is over. Nah, you gotta work harder now to stay on top, because there's always another artist behind you wants your glory. That's real. So like I said, these artists, like I said, and these independent artists, you don't need to be standing in front of Interscope Records, yo, hell my CD, because those CDs is not going to no CD players upstairs. They're going right into a box like, whatever. You know what I'm saying? And if it's a CD RW, they're going to be right over your CDs.
Oh, damn.
So, I'll be real with you. Social media is right in this time of age. Social media is really important. Use Trinidad James as a motivation. He started rapping for 2 months? He got a record deal, $2 million record deal.
Wait, 2 months? 2 months? That's it?
2 months. He said he only rapping for 2 months. That's what he said on an interview up here in Power 105. DJ Envy show. I'm like, 2 months? All these people that been putting in work in the past for years didn't get a deal. He only rapping for 2 months and he got a deal. I was like, wow, interesting.
That's very interesting.
Yes.
Very. We're waiting for Rikers to call in, and we have people that want to speak. I'm going to bring in the first caller that had their hand up, the 919. The last numbers is 1580. You're live on the air. Oh, hold on. Now you are.
My name is Rover Bed. I'm a local artist in Raleigh, North Carolina, you know, NC Stand Up, you know. But, yeah, basically, I just finished this project, the end of December called Most Hated. I dropped it on Dat Piff. Kind of getting a little good response. Could do a little bit better at my Facebook. I mean, I haven't seen now since I didn't draw that mixtape. Like, on Facebook, I went up and got, like, 500-some likes, yo, in, like, 2 days. But my thing is, like, what's some advice that you give artists that's, like, really trying to, like, what's kind of, like, some good advice you give artists that's, like, trying to go ahead and move forward?
Well, like I was telling you, what I was saying, if you want to get in this, don't let the disappointments bring you down. use that as motivation, because not everybody gonna be like, oh, you good, but when they say but, be ready to go to the next step. Be ready to keep going. The open mics, they help a lot. You don't know who's gonna be the open mics, but social media is really important. Getting them Twitter followers, and then, you know, shooting them, you know, retweeting all day. Get it out there. You know, Facebook, it helps, but I feel that, I feel like, you know, the YouTubes are very, very important. Very important. But, like I said, keep retweeting your stuff, because, like, you got friends that, I see you follow Chakamami. She will look out for sure if she feeling like that, you know. But remember, stay humble. Never get cocky, yo. Like you said, yo, you're a local artist, and you got the follow-up to your local artist. Try to expand to the next county. Try to expand to the next state. Keep expanding. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, grind. You have to grind. You trust me. It's never coming one day. And when you get that deal, trust me, the work doubles now. I'm into that team no sleep. I take power naps. I overtake full sleep. I take power naps. Because you don't know when the opportunity is going to come. You know what I'm saying? So, like I say, I can even give you, like, a motivational guy to listen to, Eric Thomas. He's a good motivation guy that will help you, know, grind more. But trust me, read books, man. Follow, like, listen to the past. Like, my ever is Tupac and Miguel. Listen to them music. Because that's the problem. I feel that hip-hop now is they're losing that, like, that edge. I mean, I like the beefs and all that, but I ain't trying to say go start beef for everybody, but that's what got 50 Cent on. You thought it'd be for everybody. You know what I'm saying? But listen to the past and see how they flowed and all. And then when you go forward, you're like, all right. And then they ask you, like, who was your inspiration? I know you ain't gonna listen. You gonna say Soulja Boy or whatever. You gonna say, you know, Big L. You know what I'm saying? Rakim, Nas. Those gentlemen, they the one that elevated that. They want to elevate this hip hop thing to where it's at now.
Yeah, that's like, I feel you on that one though, because, like, I see, like, now, like, don't know, like, artists now don't really pay homage though. Like, they don't really say, oh man, dang, Rakim and this for open up a lane for us for even to be doing this right now. Like, I don't really see a lot of artists doing that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, you have, like, a few, but
yeah.
I don't really see, like, going back to that roof. He still got that hip hop. He still got that kind of edge with him too. He did a little thing with Cassidy. It's kind of good, because now people are going to be, like, on the edge trying to see what's going to happen next, see what's going on, you know what I'm saying, with him back and forth. But I just feel like, yeah, I agree with you on that, though. Like, we do, it does need to spark, because after a while, it's going to get boring. Everybody going to do this little swag rapping, and then that's going to get played out. And
exactly. Like, for example, I listened to this interview with ASAP Rocky.
Yeah.
He said, my favorite rapper when I was growing up was Big L. And I was like, wow. Like, I didn't, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, Big L. Like, I never thought somebody would say that. His age is ever. But that, you know, I mean, that shows that, you know, they listened back then. And that's gonna transpire into your music. You know what I'm saying? So, like, Jay-Z, of course, you know, that's, of course, I'm from Brooklyn. So, you know,
yeah.
Jay-Z, Big, you know what I'm saying? Big Daddy Kane, all of those are my rappers. know what I'm saying? 50 Cent. That's who they listen to. So listen to the past. You know, trust me, when you go to the past, it transpires to your lyrics, your flow, and then you'll be like, oh, this guy got some heat. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, if you want to get in this business, like I said, be prepared for disappointments. But at the same time, the disappointments is motivation. You know what I'm saying? And market yourself. Marketing is really important. Market yourself, you know, spend time with that YouTube. If you ain't doing nothing, write. Like I said, them social media networks is really important in this time and era.
So what I'm going to do is put the caller back on hold because we have a lot more people getting in. And I have Jerry and Rikers on the line. So those are some of our guest speakers to go along with you because you are my three favorite guys. So 919, I'm going to put you on hold. Please stay tuned because in the middle of the show, I decided that since my friends were giving free knowledge, I am going to give artists like one of the best deals of the year thus far. So in order for you to take advantage of it, you're going to have to listen to the show tonight and act on it later on. But I'm going to bring my other key guest in, and then we're going to keep it moving. So I'm going to place you back on hold. And hello, Jerry. How are you?
Doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. I'm enjoying my guests. I'm enjoying this show. I'm enjoying the vibe, and I'm on cruise control right now.
Cool.
I have to say thank you so much for featuring me on the Hype Magazine website. That was like a real big thing for me. Like, that was a great way for me to start out my new year because you guys dropped it right on January the 1st, and you didn't give me the heads up, so it's like you kind of hit me with the flex, but it was a good flex. So,
hello.
What advice do you have?
I'm sorry, I missed the question.
Oh, I said, what advice do you have for the artist that's like trying to make it? Because you know, a lot of artists tend to be lazy as fuck. It's like they feel like people owe them something.
Word.
Well, for me, just a reminder, I'm not an artist. I can't sing Mary Had a Little Lamb. And, you know, I couldn't rap if I was reading the poem from a piece of paper. So, but from the PR side or the media side, you know, we at the Hype Magazine expect for the artists, once they've come to our attention, to continue working, as the gentleman said earlier, because you sign a deal doesn't mean that the work stops. One of my favorite artists right now, because of his work ethic and the quality of his music, is a guy by the name of Warchild. And talk about nonstop work. I mean, he does the Twitter, he's out, he's traveling, you know, he lives in Miami, he's up in Philly, him and Slim from 112, just rap shooting a new video for his mixtape. But this guy is everywhere at the same time. I don't believe that you should live on Twitter. I believe that if you're an artist, you need to live by your pen and paper and do what you do and create, but also market. I believe that a lot of the artists nowadays, they figure if they hit you with a link on Twitter. First of all, if you hit me with a link and I don't know who you are, 9 times out of 10, I just ignore the tweet because I consider it to be spam. Get out, do the footwork, get to know people, circulate. If you're not performing at a show, go to somebody else's show. You know, just go meet, say hello. Networking is more than being on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, whatever. It's actually not being afraid in this day and age to look somebody in the eye and say, hey, how you doing? I'm so-and-so. You know what I mean? Really enjoyed your music. Don't even talk about, you know, what you have coming. Just, you know, network. Get out there and network, say hi, enjoy other artists, show them their respect and their love. You know what I mean? Don't be so concerned with what you have going on that you fail to recognize the other man and what he has going on. You never know. That could be the guy that's going to, or lady, who's going to pull you up, you know, later on, or reach out and get you and give you that, you know, feature, that opportunity. So be known outside of your hood, you know. Go to another city, you know, if you got a car. I know gas is expensive, but, you know, go within a 100-mile radius of your city. You know, go to the next big city or mid-sized city. Go to the college towns. Hang out. Don't get drunk, high, because that's not what it's about. It's about laying back in the cut, getting a feel of the pulse of that community where you're a stranger, and learn who the key players are there. I started this business as a street promoter, a national street promoter, and I would, you know, drive city to city, state to state, sometimes doing, you know, 20 cities in 28 days, you know, as the advance party for the artist. But, you know, when I wanted to go out and put up posters and things like that, the first thing I did was find the hood and find somebody who's hanging out in front of the gas station or the quick shop, you know what I mean? And just start a conversation. Somebody that looked like he fit, you know, what I was doing. And I was like, yo, man, you want to make $20? I just need a guide through the city. You know what I mean? It could be dangerous, but, I mean, we were prepared for all of that nonsense. But that's how I got out and, you know, made myself known across the country as a promoter. So the artists can do the same thing, you know, in their local community. You know, that's my advice. I'm long-winded sometimes. Sorry.
That's good advice. I need to do some of that shit, but, you know.
Yeah, you do.
That's some good advice. For real. That's real. And that's true.
So now we're going to bring Rikers in to piggyback on that, and then we'll take some more calls. So, hi, Mr. Rikers.
Hi, how you doing? Hello, everybody, this evening. What's going on, everybody? I heard the question. Again, everybody has a different way of moving. The advice, again, I'm familiar with the Raleigh area. You know, I'm down there all the time. That's a very physical market, you know, meaning you can sell a lot of music physically. It's not really a digital market. So that's a market you can really just go out there and network. But, you know, like the gentleman said, but you got to also understand, when you go to another guy's neighborhood, there is also the local rapper in that neighborhood. He's not letting you in his door talk about, oh, I'm going to promote my music. Uh-uh. And if he invites you into the studio, he's going to take your career. His goal is to steal your hard drive and take you out the box. It's your competition. So, I mean, I look at things on the reverse thing. You got to dominate your local market. Dominate your local market. And I tell people all the time, kiss ass to the local DJ. If you're really going to be, like the gentleman said, you're going to be promoting like city to city, you better know who the local, don't forget the artist, you better know who that local DJ is. Because the artist is going to cut your throat. The DJ ain't worth crap anyway. Most DJs aren't. But you buy this dude a drink, you show him, you bring a pretty girl, show her butt, 9 out of 10 times he's going to lose his mind. Because most, okay, again, no disrespect to a lot of people, most of these guys are lames. Like, they only got hot recently, you know, before they can come outside. Now the music, they're DJ SNS or whatever. Now he feel like he's the man. So you got to use your art of war, and you got to cater to this man's needs. So if he wants to drink Hennessy, buy that man 2 drinks, make sure your music is in his hand. Then you let him give you, let him be that guy. Like the guy said, you find a guide, but let that DJ be that guy. But make sure you try to get your hands on the strongest DJ in the market, who has radio access, who has mix show access. A lot of them are scam artists, so they'll tell you to pay money to, you know, for them to play a song on a mix show. That's illegal. They should not be charging you. Most DJs should never have an artist, because that's a conflict of interest. But at the end of the day, they still do. So you need to find these strong DJs in these markets and work. Like in Raleigh, Raleigh's a real flashy market, and it's like in what I call a clusterfuck, because they're in doubt with New York. They're too much wanting to be with Atlanta. They dick ride Atlanta to death. Charlotte don't know if they're coming or going. And Raleigh is like strapped right there in the middle. because it's a gigantic place. But like the gentleman said, you got so many colleges right there between Shaw, St. Aug, Duke. You know, like Kevin, Mike Posner, you know, he got the Duke fight song. You know, like you can do these things. You know, you got so many schools, Greenville, Elizabeth City. Hit those schools in that local market because you can generate so much income from yourself selling your product, selling T-shirts. And as these kids start going home to their local markets, back to like Chicago's, the New York's, Atlanta's, they'll take their, if they really like you, they're going to take your music with them. But you've got to dominate your local market. And you, like you said, he's right on the point of being local. You got to network with the local artists because you can't just stand there. You got to go to the shows, even if you're not, you know, performing. Go there, make a friend. You know, go out there, like you said, go out there, meet a guy and start talking to him. Hey, what's up? You know, don't come off as a threat. Know the gang, because Raleigh's a very gang-orientated city, so you got to make sure you know your colors and what neighborhood you're walking in. And, you know, go there neutrally, let them know that you're doing music, and, you know, and just start networking. Don't let him see you as a threat, because if he sees you as a threat, he's going to see you, you know, a dog bites a threat. So you have to see him, make yourself look like, not say weak, but strong, where he doesn't see you as a threat, and then you can use your art of war to get close to him, and then he can help filter out to who's who, because that's one market where you could drop names for days. Because everybody, like, don't know everybody, but they want to be everybody. Like, they want to throw money around, they want to buy videos, they want to ask for free stuff, but they drop around in $5,000 rims. Make sure also when you network with people, like you said, you can go physical, but buy products. Don't buy, like, the new Jordans. Jordan got $1 billion. Mm-hmm. Look nice, but be presentable. You see this man, I'm working with Vibe. This guy used to be with VP Records. Shock Mommy has a big show. You can't go to her talking about, I got $5,000 of clothing on, then you want a discount. I'm looking at you like, dude, you got $3,000 on your back. You know you got to pay top dollar. But you come to me on some, you come to me humble, like, you know, I'm on a budget. I don't really have it. As soon as you walk up there, I'm analyzing you from head to toe immediately. I'm already looking at what you're spending. And if I see you balling out, you're going to have to cut me a $5,000 retainer check. Or I'm not talking. And like I said, I don't know everything. I've been in this industry a long time. And, you know, I only do this because I watched too many artists for centuries get pistol whipped fucked. And it's bad. Like, you know, Ant was over at VP. Like, I used to hear about, you know, I knew the stories that happened at Interscope and them. And I'm looking at these artists like, damn, and I see them now. And I'm like, dude, these dudes are broke. That broke it in a bank messenger. They got bank messenger money. But what happened? They didn't have the right advice. So now what I did is, like I said, a lot of us do it. We're giving back to the community, and we're doing our best to at least help one or two people who's willing to listen give you a fair chance. Because, you know, a lot of us have been around longer than us. Any artist you see that broke overnight is a lie. Most of these artists have put in 5-10 years' work. So like Ant said, get ready for disappointment. When you see Rick Ross, F. Ross. You got to remember, Ross has been rapping since like 91, 92. Yep. You know, you see Flo Rida popping. Dude, I met Flo Rida like in late, mid-90s. He didn't pop to mid-2000s. You know, a lot of these artists you see get hot, dude, it ain't like that. You know, they've been doing this for many years. Many years. And if they popped overnight, they sold their soul. You know, you can look up the Drake situation where they're talking about Drake, they ain't got a dime to his name, literally. So, oh, he got money. Yeah, that ain't the money he should be taking home. Because, yeah, he literally had to sell his soul to get where he's at. But he cut a lot of publishing checks. A lot of his other money's missing. So understand, know the business. And like I said, you got to read. Got to read. Because it ain't nothing worth than popping and you don't pay your taxes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, next question. I don't want to really go on for days because, you know, I would. Like, look, I'm long-winded too.
Oh, I feel you. Now, my question is, for artists that, okay, let's see. How can I be nice about this? But I really don't have to be nice. Okay, like, say, for instance, an artist comes up to you, and he is fucking doo-doo. He is garbage. He's, like, shitty for real. But he has the heart and the determination to get better, and he takes constructive criticism. Would it be easy for someone to work with him, more so than a cocky fucker?
Me? You want to ask me? Honestly, I like the cocky guy. No, for real, because he's confident. As long as he can work, because a lot of these cocky guys know they got to keep up that image. You know, he has the front. He got his six girlfriends. You know, he want to go to the club. He want to look good. Them cocky dudes, a lot of them going to put in that work. I need a guy who's going to work harder than I work. You know, I need a guy that works harder than I work. You know, like, you know, I'm just going to use head fences. I don't mean to call you out. But, you know, we all talk, you know, we all believe in team, no sleep. And, you know, 1 minute edge, he brings up a message, and that, you know what, Holcomb Rucker is nominated for the Hall of Fame. Out of nowhere, like rapping. Yeah, because this guy was networking on the regular basis. So when he got the Rucker Park nominated for a Hall of Fame. This is just within a month. This is a month. So I'm not saying that he's cocky, but he was like, I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to make, like, that's all he kept saying. I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to make this happen. And I'm like, I like cocky because, hell, that makes me feel good because, one, I want to bust your bubble, but at the same time, I want to feed off your energy. So I'll take a cocky rapper because some guys are just straight doo-doo, but they could dress like a bum. Their lyrics could be trash. His girlfriend looks like somebody that got hit with a frying pan. So you can't
there you
even
go.
Take the girl. You can't even take your girlfriend to get the DJ. You know, you used to use your girl to like bar into that DJ. That DJ should be looking over, and you should be using that pretty face to get closer to different crowds. Because you know most dudes are dogs anyway. He's looking at your girl like, yeah, I'm trying to take her. Well, let him think that. Your job is to get the networking through. Cocky dude's going to just hustle. A bum nigga's going to stay home, and he's not going to work. You know, he's going to rap. He's going to have his local studio in his house. He ain't going to want to go outside. You know, like I said, you got the Source, Vibe, all these magazines coming to town. You need that cocky rapper because cockiness sells. You know,
right.
Kanye, let's talk about Kanye, you know, back in the days. You know, when we did Four Corners, we gave Kanye West his first magazine cover. We did his first story. You know, we shot him in the studio. This dude was cocky. Like, I'm interviewing him. He starts rapping in an interview. And I'm like, yo, chill, be easy. And he goes, no, check this. I can rap, though. Check this out. And just start rapping again. We're like, this motherfucker is crazy. But he was so cocky and determined. We sit in an interview like, this motherfucker is a nut. But we looked at him and say, he's going to make it, though. Why? Because this motherfucker was cocky, but he was determined. Then you meet some whack rappers who ain't got no, you know, they're not confident. And they come and they go. They get a single deal. If they get a deal, and they disappear because they're happy with the single deal. Most of them cocky rappers ain't happy. He wants more. He's just a green bastard. So, again, it depends what type of person it is. I want cocky because I want somebody who's confident. I want you to do a show, and I'm not sitting there falling asleep. I want you on stage jumping, not jumping, like Busta, you know, that Busta Rhymes energy. Like, yo, I run this stage. People like that gain followers because people want to be behind a leader. Bums don't want to be with bums. Bums want to be behind a leader. That cocky dude, you know, if they write in the head, that's that leadership quality. And he's gonna draw a lot of followers. You know, a lot of these rappers are trash. Honestly, they are awful. Like, I mean, Trinidad James. Well, not Trinidad. Is his name Trinidad James? I'm sorry.
Yeah, Trinidad James.
Trinidad James.
Are you serious? But he's cocky. I'm like, this dude, he's confident. Right? Yo, he's funny, but he's confident. I'm like, yo, dude, you're awful. You only set black people about 50 years. You look like Jerome from Martin. But the dude is so confident. I'm like, dude, I can't tell him nothing because he really believes he's talented.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, he kept going. I'm like, dude, this guy is awful. He's really awful. He can't sell no mixtapes in the street, but he's sure getting them digital downloads.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I tell any upcoming rapper, I'll keep it. If I hear a rapper, upcoming rapper, he's trash. I'm going to be like, you know what? You need work. I ain't going to try to do you like that. You need work.
But honesty with him is deal. That, you got to be honest with him. You know, like I said, I'm not a producer, DJ, so you guys handle that situation different.
But you got to hear something. You got to hear.
And a publicist, you know, and I've been around enough to know that whoever you're dealing with, they need to be coachable. You know what I mean? If you're if you're going to be a producer, you know, and you're going to work with an artist who is, you know, bummy, ugly as fuck, but he's got, and he doesn't have a whole lot of skills, but he has the drive, determination, and intestinal fortitude to stick it out and take the constructive criticism. They're coachable, and you can help them, guide them to improve their presentation, their overall presentation, you can find a diamond in the rough, you know, from a garbage heap. I mean, you know, their pearls to be found, you know, in the garbage pile of Solomon's temple. You just have to look. You know what I mean? You have to dig through it. And if you just take the guy who's cocky and who is, you know, maybe has some skill, he could be garbage too, but, you know, he's cocky and he thinks that, you know, the six girlfriends and all that crap is what it makes to be, you know, makes to make your image and makes you successful. You know, that's not, in my opinion, and I, you know, I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but in that, in my opinion, it's not about whether the person is cocky or and horrible, or whether the person is humble and horrible. The cocky guy is the one that you're going to have, in my opinion, the most difficult time coaching. The humble guy who wants to be where you can take him, that person is more liable to listen, more liable to take your tips and your professional advice, you know, your guidance. And, you know, I can only do it from the PR standpoint and prepping them for media, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, Rikers and the other gentleman, I apologize, I didn't log in early to catch your name, but you guys have a different type of experience. And you could take them and guide them. And that's the person, as a professional, it seems that we would want. You know, that would be me. My choice would be the humble guy. Fuck that cocky guy. Because if you're cocky and crap, first of all.
That's what I can say about the cocky. You mean in that, of course, you got to take constructive criticism.
Right.
But at the same time, being confident is meaning that when you get in that studio, you don't waste nobody's time. When you're on that open mic, you may be ready for anything. Be ready to perform. Be ready to battle. That's the kind of cocky that Mike is talking about.
Yeah, I give you an example. Soulja Boy, that's cocky. That's a cocky. I mean, I like him. I mean, personally, he's a good dude. That's my dude. But honestly, come on, for real. But that dude is cocky. He is cocky. He don't listen. You know, the little boy is spoony. But that's my dude. I mean, he knows, you know, if he tuned in, he'll know, like, well, I know how Rikers is, because Rikers just talk shit. But he's so, I mean, we heard that song, Soulja Boy Good. I'm sitting there listening to it. I'm like, what the hell is this? But he won't listen. The kid won't listen. But like you said, if you say get in that studio and do 2 hours, oh, he's gonna give you a Tupac session. He's going to come out with 8 songs. He's going to give you 8 songs over 3 weeks. He gave you the song, the hook. I mean, I'm like, wow, how did you give me 3 different songs on one beat? Well, which one? They're like, wow. Now, you're right, because he is so difficult, because you're like, yo, I just told you to be at the studio 2. Why are you there at 4? What the? Like, dude, are you serious? You know, when they listen, you tell them, okay, it's all right, because it's coming out your money. I'll make sure in the studio, you will get paid at your show. Oh, you got $5,000? Yeah, why only got 2? Oh, because you was late at the studio 3 times, and you really think I was going to pay for that? So now you're right, because you do. Is it your job to try to humble them? But I believe we should as men humble them. It's like you see a kid with his pants hanging out. We should tell him, yo, pull them pants up. You want to go to jail to be gang raped? Or I'm gonna tell you like this: I'm gonna humble you now before this industry humbles you, because you know how this industry is. They're like, oh, you cocky. Oh, they like, give him the slave deal, and you so cocky you can't leave. You read right past the slave part. So you get a gold chain, a Rolex. In some rims. And you're so cocky, you think that's the best deal you got because you didn't listen. So, yeah, you need a cocky guy that you can really grab and shake, and he's like, okay, you know what, I'll listen for 5 minutes. Because a lot of them can't listen for more than 5 minutes. You know, especially in this Twitter.
They're like kindergartners.
Yeah, they're literally kindergartners. So you got to grab him. If he can listen for 5 minutes, I'm good, because I can get everything in 5 minutes. I could talk. I get 100 words in a minute. So I'm like, long as I can get him for 5 minutes to listen, I got you.
I'm going to call right back, because I've been I still got a charge. Yo, my fault, y'all.
It's all right.
I'll call you back in 5 minutes.
It's all right. Shaka time.
Okay, now, here's another question. What advice do you have for females that are up and coming? Because for me, because I'm not an artist.
No.
That's hard.
No, I'm not an artist. I don't sing. I don't rap. But for some reason, as a female trying to be in the industry, whatever lane she feels that she wants to be in, there always comes some bullshit in the shape of a dick and two balls.
Yep.
Well, honestly, there are lesbians, so it could be a girl with boobs. But honestly, that's been going on for years. I mean, I'm not going to pull on nobody's business, but you hear that for years. I mean, oh, God, I'm about to say his name. Ooh. Oh, my ass. But it's been going on for years. You know, it's always been that what they call the fraternity. I mean, dudes go through it. Like, you know, it goes through. Me, again, I do a different side of the business. The hardest part I've always had with women artists is the cost of wardrobe. Like, it just costs so much money to do a woman. So if she doesn't have her own budget, I can't even do it right now. Because you're talking about a girl cannot be seen twice in the same pair of shoes. She can't be seen twice in the same pair of pants. She can't be seen twice in the same blouse. Her hair always
like an earring.
Her earrings, like the jewelry.
The earrings can't look the same today and tomorrow.
Right. So, I mean, and you're talking about a Monday, and you're talking about February. This chick literally cannot look the same between now and February. So you're talking about countless of money of just developing her wardrobe and her look. You're talking about thousands and thousands of dollars. And she can, and she hasn't even given you a single yet that she can even try to sell. Like you said, you got to go to radio. I got to spend thousands of dollars just to get the radio to play it. You know, like you said, you got to get the, like you go there, you got to go out there and promote in advance. But you got to go out there and get the mix show DJs. You got to get them to try to move the record. Now, these people got jobs. You got to cut them something. I'm paying that off, and I got to pay almost like $4,000 a week in good clothes for this chick. It's very expensive. It's like, that's why, honestly, a lot of women you don't see, it's just so expensive to really push one. It's very expensive, and it's a lot of work.
But what would your advice be to her, though? You know what I mean?
My advice,
I want to hear that.
Advice is honestly see if you can work find an investor. Understand that you're going to give this guy, you're going to have to cut him some publishing. I always tell people keep your publishing, but understand your publishing has to be what we call a barter. Because if I put $30,000-$40,000 into your pocket, I got to get something out of it. So I want some publishing. I'm just talking to myself. I'm going to keep it real. I want a master. I want some masters. I want some publishing. I'm only blunt. I'm telling you what the industry is going to tell you anyway, but behind your back. I want publishing and I want some masters. That if I'm putting $50,000 out to just wardrobe you, that's not even paying for studio yet. I got to put wardrobe. I get you travel. I get you nice hotels. I just got to build it. It's going to take me 3 to 6 months just to build a look for you. Because you can't even get you haven't even did a open mic yet. I just can't send you to an open mic. No, we got to develop clothing 2-3 weeks in advance. Again, I did fashion, you know, I do fashion for different brands. So, again, that's what I do. Find an investor and put into it. Keep your legs closed. Do not let him sleep with you. Do not fall for these people who's dating their manager or who's dating their don't do that. Like, that just means you became a whore. Keep your legs closed. Find a good team or make sure you have a proficient job. Make sure you have a good job or you have your own business. Music is not your business. It's going to take 2-3 years to develop. Find an investor. That's the first thing I always tell you. Find an investor. Be willing to cut publishing and give them some masters, give them some publishing, and that's your first part. Find somebody who's willing to invest in your career if you can't invest in it yourself. Because the wardrobe alone is why a lot of people turn their back on women artists because there's so much to run it. Not unless you found a distinctive niche. Well, you can steal one. Look at Rihanna. I mean, I don't mean to call her out, but look at Rihanna. You know, Rihanna's career was stalling, and again, I was dealing with the person, and they went to Canada and saw Fifi Dobson, and they basically took Fifi Dobson black tights and all that, and just snatched it right off her back and put it on Rihanna. Now Rihanna's rocking, you know, in the all black, you know, the spiky hair, and I'm sitting there like, isn't it? They just stole Fifi Dobson's whole look. And they dang on there. They snatched this for, and now the girl career falls apart because Rihanna done ran off on her look. But that look was very affordable. That all black, you know, the Reeboks. So she was sporty and things like that. Well, even Sansa Gold. Sansa Gold keeps her hair nice, but she walks around with spandex all day. So if you can't find the right niche, you're going to have to spend a lot of money. So honestly, look for a nice niche that makes you sexy, that makes people want to buy you, because people are not buying you, just buying your music. They're buying that look. They want to see you. They want to buy you. They want to be able to get a, like a Nicki Minaj thing thrown on the wall and look at it and drool over it. They just not buying it. They're buying that image. So package yourself. Package yourself and understand people don't want no Reebok broad with, you know, hood shit with rollers in their head. They're not buying that. Dudes ain't buying that because you can spit. Dude's not buying a girl who spits harder than a dude. So that's another thing. When you're a chick battle rapping, cut that out. Cut it out. Immediately cut that crap out. If you're a street rapper, cut that out. Dudes don't want to buy a girl from I'm the toughest blood in the hood. They're like, what are you talking about, chick? I know. My imagination is to bring you home. You know, I'm not saying like that, but, you know, I want to bring Nicki Minaj home. I want to bring Rihanna home. I don't want to bring home the thug who's going to tie me up and rob me and leave at 2 in the morning. So package yourself right. You got to. It's all about image. He said it's marketing. Marketing is everything. You can sell water so well if you package it right. You can go to Payless. As long as you know how to accessorize and put your own makeup on, boom, you got to look for an affordable budget. So don't seem so needing to be at the Vera Wang's. Package yourself. Start with a nice package. If you funded it yourself, start at Payless. Start at Ashley Stewart and know how to accessorize. Don't buy what's in the front of the store. Go to the back where everybody can walk by and see it. And start accessorizing different looks. Learn how to work on different images. Because understand, when you go to myself or this gentleman right here, understand, when you come up for advice is a budget. And, you know, I'm telling you the industry. You can't come to me and say, well, right, because I need advice. All right. Where's your checkbook? I mean, what are you for? It's a business now. You know, I do it because I do it out the kindness of my heart. But understand, when you go to people, it's a budget. So what you got to do is say, I need an image. So he does PR. That's another thing you need. You need PR. You need a publicist. You need somebody who's going to get to markets where you're not at, especially for a woman, because there's not too many of you out here. So accessorize, marketing, work your social network, and get around. The thing is, women can't get to the hood like other people because they're looking at her like fresh meat. So, you definitely got to know how to have a good publicist and a good PR and maybe a good DJ who's a dude, but he's your hype man, because he's gonna be like your brother on the road, and he's going to get you to different markets and start helping you network, because you just can't network by yourself. You end up in the back of a trunk. So just understand the markets you're in and start developing a marketing plan. So can you start with a marketing plan? How you want to perceive the world to perceive you, then work on a budget. How are you going to pay for this? Are you going to be able to go to the Rick Rack, City Trends? Can you go to City Trends and hook up an outfit? If you can, if you have that much confidence in yourself that you can do that, and then you hit that event. Because understand, you can't be seen in that outfit again, and start developing networking relationships. And when you're a girl, you can smile. Guys are suckers for smiles. So you start smiling around. Don't sleep with them, because once you're a whore, you're a whore. Start networking and use that smile. Smile to the DJ. Hey, DJ, how you doing? Play my record. And he's sitting there like, I'm going to get me some. No, he's not. But you want him to think he is. And then you start using those pretty look to get what you need. It's like they said, we got to get what we want was that Players Club. But just keep your morals, because when you lose your morals, it's a wrap.
Can I add something in there on that one? Earlier you said, you know, guys don't want a female rapper that can spit harder than a dude, you know. And I have two examples in support of what he just said. One, in Los Angeles, there was an underground rapper by the name of Medusa. She is one of the most talented rappers, female or otherwise, that I have ever run across. And she's awesome. And she battled, but she also did the spoken word, and she was pretty diverse. But nobody wanted to deal with her simply because she was out there taking heads. You know what I mean? And she didn't want to change her image. She, you know, was a little, not harsh, but West Coast. Let me just put it that way. West Coast eclectic. And she would step on stage and she didn't battle with the females. She battled with the dudes, you know. And, you know, the original Otherwise, you know, was a young brother. And he was wrecked shop on, you know, on Project Blow and Global Flotations and stuff like that. And she ate him up one night in successive rounds, just killed him, you know. Now, conversely, there's another female battle rapper by the name of Young Gaddis, and she is out of Indianapolis. And she is from the, you know, she's gay. And her original style was the baseball cap, you know, the sweaters and all that good stuff, the mannish stock. And nobody would take her seriously. Now, she was wrecking shop, you know, on the battle circuit, URL and Grind Time and all that. But nobody wanted to take her seriously outside of that arena. She's very skilled. However, when, you know, D-Rect said, hey, change your image, be a little more girly, let your hair down, let's curl it up, let's put a little makeup on. You don't have to become a femme, but we need to bring this surprise, this shock and awe. You know, I mean, people are going to look at you. You bring in a softer visual image and, you know, you're accessorizing and whatnot. And then you go in and kill them. But then once she did that, the males within the industry started to take notice because she wasn't so threatening and she did accessorize and she was softer and, you know, she wasn't giving up no ass. First of all, because that's not what she does. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? But,
yes, well, that didn't work.
Right. But that didn't even work. However, you know, just the visual itself changed the perception. Also, now, as a publicist, my advice to a female, one, yes, keep your skirt down and your ankles crossed. All right? And that'll be one way, you know. Same as strippers, create the fantasy, but never give it up. All right. But also, don't be a Krishan who is an English butchering idiot.
Yes.
Okay. Speak English. Be prepared to not be, yeah, nah, mean, and all that, and yo, dude, and yo, be on an interview. There's nothing destroys your image as a woman, as a professional, whether you're male or female, but specifically for a woman because of the stereotypes, is when you present yourself as if you're some street cat, you know, in a mannerism, you know, come off chiefish or juvenile, you know, early juvenile, that kind of stuff. Nobody wants to hear that from a female. It immediately lowers their perception of your work. And so to fight that, learn to speak good English. Learn the business better than the guys know the business. You know what I mean? Understand the terminology and the vernacular of the music industry. And don't necessarily be overbearing, however, be firm, professional, and clear and concise in what it is that you want and mean. Women, as a rule, don't tell you really what they want. You know what I mean? So on a professional level, you have to skip I'm a woman thing and get into the professional and be able to tell people what it is that you want, what you're looking to achieve. Have a plan. You know, the budget is a good thing, but also know where you want to be, how you want to be perceived, and prepare yourself to present yourself in that manner. Rihanna does a lot of wild things. However, if you listen to an interview with Rihanna, Rihanna is extremely intelligent. She comes across that way. She's articulate. And, you know, she has a young person's disease, which is, you know, a lapse into crazy-itis.
Hey,
and right. that's just the way it is with young people, you know. Especially now you throw young people who now have some sort of public persona, and people are looking at them, and they have a demand for their time and their thoughts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, in her more lucid moments, you know, she handled interviews very well. She's very professional, well-spoken, and that is something that I would guide a female to develop. And, you know, if you're a handler of a female, I think that that's where we should be. You know, I certainly am, of course, I'm old. And
old.
Well, I'm old. I'm 49, you know, so
well,
I'm
older.
I'm older. I'm more speaking.
Yeah.
And I look
Clive
at it,
Davis,
you know,
is old.
Yeah, Clive Davis
is old.
Old.
So
yeah,
you definitely
Clive
got Clive.
Right. So that I mean, in the short, you know, it's definitely be professional. You have to be more professional than the men. You know, I talked to Riff Raff, who is, you know, he calls himself the hip hop Martin Lawrence.
Oh.
But I actually tried.
Wow.
Yeah. He's a comedian, but I mean, he's very skilled. He's, you know, and he's crazy. But I spoke with this guy on the phone, and within 5 minutes, I was ready to cuss him the fuck out, just because he was destroying the English language, and I don't speak. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm from the hood.
Yeah.
But at the same time, to do my business, in my business, when I was a kid, I had words and books instead of friends. So, you know, to do my business, it's about speaking English, being professional, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You're coming to me trying to get a cover of a magazine and sell me on why I should put you on the Hype magazine, but you can't tell me anything about yourself. Attempt to challenge me, you know, you could be a leader and give me my first cover. I'm like, you know, we did that with Soulja Boy. Hype magazine gave him his first cover. You know what I mean? And, you know, the young man is, you know, very astute at business. I mean, I don't know any other rapper who has his own iPad, you know what I mean? Branded iPad and things like that. Soulja Boy is the only one I know, you know. He's the only one I know that uses social media to really blow himself up, you know, out of nowhere, you know, and he's really smart. He may be difficult to deal with. I don't know, you know, on the production side when you're in the studio, but I know that he handles his business, which is great for a young person. And a female has to be on that level in order, in my opinion, to be a consistent success. You know, you might get somebody who wants to tap that ass real quick and, yeah, give you a couple of hours in the studio or put out some bullshit and, you know, let you do a little anthem or whatever, push it for a minute until the next fine-ass model-looking chick comes through who thinks she has some sort of talent, you know, because she sang in the Corleers in her high school choir and she's willing to fuck. Bottom line, then you just lost your worth because now you're old hat. This is new meat, and I'm gonna move on. You know, so
sound like episode 11 Hip Hop.
Well, yes, indeedy.
Now you're the new booty. Now she's like, what happened to me? I'm like, you're the old booty now.
You're the old booty.
And like, and you notice he just moved on to the next booty. Like, you hit it on the head. That's so completely. Like, now you're the new booty. Like, but what about y'all were the old booty. Like, what's part of this you women are missing? That this happens has been happening since Eve. Like,
centuries.
Like, with Eve, 10 years ago. Well, damn, 15 years ago, right? I'm like, I know. What part of this you understanding? Keep your legs closed and focus. I mean, there's a girl down in Raleigh. I mean, I still do some stuff with on the side. And, you know, became like a little sister to me, Shelly B. She's out in Raleigh. Love this girl. Like, we talk all the time, hardworking, has her own money, has her own budget, has her own marketing plan. And she's been doing it. Like, you know, she, you know, was considered one of the top internet rappers years ago in Vibe. And she, you know, she's been doing it herself. She sells her own product. People are like, well, she's not, no, yeah, she's not in the right markets. But at the end of the day, she can sell physical product. So she's selling her mixtape. She uploads it. She sells it there. Like, dude, that's, you know, you'll never hear that she slept around. And what is her boyfriend's a hype man. Like, dude, that's how you got to do it.
I have a question. Aunt, your line is open, too. I have a question, and then I have a caller that wants to ask a question. Now, I was trying to see how I'm going to word this, but fuck it. What is worse, working with an independent artist that's trying to get in the industry, or working with an artist that got lucky, came in major, but now has taken a fall from grace, and it's just like an independent?
Wait, say that again?
Which artist do you want to work with?
On the way up or on the way down?
Yeah, or one that, you know, that got a lucky break and came in major. And then, you know how you have that fall from grace, and then it's like you're starting all over again?
Wow. Which one is worse?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know the answer.
It's a bad situation around, because you get with the social media, the kids think they can get on, they can start rapping on in August, they're going to get a deal by January the next year. So they're hard because they're like, yo, why I don't got a deal yet, dude? Like, you don't even have, like, I'm not just using Twitter, but I'm like, dude, you only got, like, 30 Twitter followers. Like, that means the label says no one is even going to buy your digitally download your album. Like, what part of this you missing? Like, no one's requesting, so that means you definitely ain't going to be able to sell any digital records. And everything, a lot of the industry is digital. The falling down grace, he knows it all. Because, oh, I hung out with this guy, I hung out with that guy. You can't tell me nothing. Well, then why are you broke?
Hello.
Why are you broken and standing in front of me then if you know it all, homie? Call them to help you.
C-I-U.
But they don't understand that. So those are the worst because they know it all. I'm like, oh, man, there's a reason why you're here, isn't it? So the up-and-coming rapper is hard because he thinks he deserves it all overnight. And the coming-down rapper, to me, is the worst because he was name-dropped, and I hate name-dropped. I like a name-dropper. If you say names that I can relate to, people that inspire me, like you say, like Jerry Barrow, you know, he did Scratch Magazine. He, you know, when I was at the Source, he used to actually help me with write stories. I admired him. Or Daytwine, he was at Vibe. He, you know, he helped me with my newspaper, Four Corners, or Riggs Morales when he was at the Source. You name drop a name like that to somebody I admire. You said this man right there, you gentlemen, boom, he got Hype Magazine. I admire a person like that because he's an entrepreneur. I'm always going to give entrepreneurs 5 cents more than anyone else because he's taking that risk. So yeah. I'm going to take respect on that. When you say that, they say, oh, word, he got his own publication? Shit, I better...
No. Let me clear that up. I am the executive editor of the Hype Magazine. I am not the owner.
Executive editor still has a lot of responsibility because at the end of the day, your ass is on the line. Like I said, I did know, like everybody's going to look at the executive editor because you have to make sure that everything's tight. So, right, I mean, again, I did public, you know, I had Four Corner, you know, we had our own newspaper. It was the first hip-hop newspaper in the country. And, you know, like I said, the editor, the first, if there's a spell check wrong, anything wrong, they're looking at the editor. So I know the editor gets beaten up probably more than the writers. But at the end of the day, like, I respect that person because, like you said, he knows the English language. So he's what? An editor has to read everything. The editor has to fix that, spell check everything. The editor has to, you know, sometimes go in there and validate stories. You know, if there's a story, the editor has to validate that, you know, you really got that quote or something like that.
Yeah.
So, again, I want a person like that. But if he's like, well, I can't work with you. So if an artist is crashing, oh, those are the worst. Because he's seen it all and he wants it back. And he won't listen to anything, but he's standing in front of you with his hands out. The up-and-coming rapper, at least some of them have dreams and aspirations, but they don't understand that, yes, Drake dropped out of high school. Yes, he's on Degrassi High. Yes, he came out of Canada and became an overnight success, but you got to remember, he said he didn't do it without a deal, but you got to remember, he was messing with out of Houston. What's the big homie out of Houston? Oh, God. Prince. He was messing with
Prince
Jr. Yeah, he was messing with him. So people like he did without a deal, he had a deal because he was messing with the one of the biggest OGs in the industry.
Rap-A-Lot,
he got connect. So don't think, you know, what he did, you can do, because he made those relationships early, and they got him over to Lil Wayne, who was able to do that. Sandy with Nicki Minaj, she caught up with Fendi, who basically had, you know, he knew everybody, and Fendi was able to get her here and here and here. She caught up with, like, Waka's, like, these people had, they were coming up, but they had a plan.
Yeah.
And then the up-and-coming rapper without a plan, who just thinks the world, and I'm like, dude, at the end of the day, you still suck.
Like your man said earlier, that network is really important in this business.
I mean,
True.
Now, I'm going to bring a female in, Madam Miska. She's from New York. She's a really good friend of mine. She does a lot of stuff in the industry, and I have mad respect for her, and she supports me the long way. So I'm going to bring her in. Hi, Madam.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Madam.
Happy Tuesday.
Hello. Happy Tuesday. You're on the line with Jerry, Rikers, and Ant.
Hey guys, how are you?
How you doing, man? How you doing, madam?
Can you give me a quick, you know, rundown of what you guys are just talking about?
We're basically talking about the industry, how, you know, upcoming rappers, how they're supposed to get in this business, getting them information, what to look out for, you know, basically what not to do, what to do, how to get on, how to network, basically, you know, all the basic stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Industry 101 for the most part. Industry 101 for the up and coming rapper.
Industry or in the streets? No, I'm only kidding.
Well, I'm
trying to keep them out the
street. It's both of them.
Yeah. Well, then, you know, those two situations, they usually coincide. So.
Yep. Exactly.
You gotta have money to make money.
True.
You spend money to make money, and vice versa. So. But I'm calling to support my girl. I'm letting you, America, know. Next Friday, January 18th, I will be doing Joel Santana's mixed CD release party at Phuket. His mixed CD drops next Tuesday, the 15th. God willing, it's going to be crazy. I got a bunch of performances, and this is going to be awesome.
Where are some of the performances at?
I just said at Phuket. Phuket is at 701 West 135th Street in 12th Avenue.
Okay,
it's gonna be crazy. Pardon?
Okay,
hold
on.
Harlem?
Y'all all can't speak at once.
I say Harlem, okay.
Yeah, it's gonna be crazy, and I'm actually waiting for Juju to finish my YouTube video and everything right now, and I'm really, you know, excited for him, and the music is really dope, and, you know, it's just going to be crazy. I support, you know, artists, new artists. I just became a publicist for a rapper, a bottle rapper that was on 106 and Park fame. His name is Oompi. Oompi, he's a rapper, doing publicist work for another rapper called T-Rex. And, you know, things are just being progressive.
All right.
I've been in the game, doing events, doing publicist management work, DJs and stuff, since the age of, say, 19. I'm 36 now, and, you know, my career is very successful. So anybody who's in the Tri-State area or just on the East Corridor, they know, like, I do, like, the ultimate situations when it comes to, you know, industry, whether it's you could be a rapper, a real model, a DJ, whatever. You know, I open doors, I kick down glass ceilings, you know, life is good.
Right.
That's great. I mean, that should give you, like, the motivation for a person that's coming up in the industry to meet somebody like you to help them. Understand, like, you know, there's more to just being a rapper than being a singer. There's more to, you could work in the industry as a publicist and show that, you know, you're around the career that you want to be, not only by being an artist.
Yeah. Well, actually, I've been around, say, artists since the age of 13. Like, my mentor was Queen Latifah. And basically, I've seen artists go from, you know, eating ramen, oodles and noodles to becoming multimillionaires. If you have a dream, I feel like nobody should steal your thunder, but people need to understand that hard work and due diligence always pays off. A lot of these rappers or artists or models or personalities or whatever you want to be, it always, you have to make connections, you have to follow through, you have to go out of, you know, network, you have to travel, and a lot of that situations take money. A lot of people don't have money, especially in these times, you know, we're in a recession and stuff, but if you have if you have quality product, quantity will come.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, I don't know. The first time I tell artists they want me to do publicist work for them, I'm like, listen, are you serious? Do you just want to be a lip gloss Sunset Boulevard artist, or are you in it for the long haul? Like, do you want to be a legend, or you just want to, you know, get your videos played, drive a fancy car, and then 5 years later you don't have any money? A lot of these artists come up, they don't even have a business plan. They don't even know how to make money. They basically don't even have any education. They don't even know how to speak proper vernacular other than rhyming. It's, you know, a lot of people don't understand what it takes to be a star. And we need to, you know, I'm going to say an elder as myself, you need to start instilling that in these, you know, younger persons that say, oh, I want to be the next Nicki Minaj. All right. Do you know what it took for her to get where she is? She had, just because, you know, she's like the hottest female rapper of her time right now, she still knows how to count money. She still basically, if rap music stopped tomorrow, she can go get a job because she's not stupid. You know, you have to be book smart and, you know, basically street smart. And, you know, a lot of these rappers and a lot of people, they just don't understand that basically, like I said, the two have to coexist in order for you to be, you know, rich or just successful, period. You know, my favorite saying is procrastination is much like masturbation, because the only thing you're doing is fucking yourself. So at the end of the day, if you cheat yourself, you'll never win. So like I said, I tell people, don't cheat yourself, treat yourself. So drive hard. Don't sit up and wait for anybody to do anything. The only thing in life that you're promised, that's for free, is Jesus. So indulge on that. So if you want to be a successful artist, rapper, model, whatever, entrepreneur, you need to get out there and grind. Grind until you can't think or sleep, or sleep is overrated. Fuck that.
Yes, it is. I'll
sleep when I'm dead.
Sleep when I'm dead.
That's really right.
You know, you got to be everywhere. Like, I had a deep conversation with somebody, like, the other day. They're like, well, I manage this person and I manage that person. I'm like, really? You do? Wow. Ooh. You're okay. The artist name is, I'm just giving an example because I don't like to put people on Broad Street, because I'm getting, you know, when you give a person, you know, credit, whether it's bad or good, you're giving them attention. Now, I don't have time to give you attention. You know, like, are you paying me to give you attention? But I told the person, you know, there's no future in fronting. You fronting, you telling me that you got this artist, you got that editor. All right, I'm going to ask you a quick resume. Where has your artist performed? What was the last three shows? What DJs are their singles in the mix CD circuit? No answers. I heard crickets. So at the end of the day, he's lying. So, you know, there's no future in fronting. Because a person like me, or a person like yourself, or a person like, you know, you, without a person like, oh, really, you know? And then they will get so angry and frustrated that, you know, people are just so delusional that you'll, like, get turned off for the person that's really, you know, real. And it's just terrible. A lot of people need to stop fronting. They fucking up the industry. A lot of these fake rappers, you know, fake models. This is whack. Shit is whack. That's not how, like, when I'm, my first club experience was at the Tunnel, okay? I don't know if any of y'all know what that is.
Of course,
United States of America, okay? Anybody who was anybody went to the Tunnel and say the hip-hop era. And that was my first nightclub experience. And basically, you could go from one room and see rappers that weren't moguls, like Jay-Z on one side and Puffy on another, to see DJs like Funk Master Flex and DJs like Biz Markie on another. And they were all basically in the same pot, just basically celebrating life. So what I'm saying is, it's just like how I've been raised on the nightlife, industry, fashion, they all to me are a trifecta. So at the end of the day, if you are not keeping it, you know, real, and you find, you know, you like thinking about short-term goals, it's not going to work out. Like, don't waste my time. You know, time is money, and you know time you cannot get back. So at the end of the day, it's just like, you know, there's a lot of fraudulent going on. You know, people go on these shows, they talk, and they give these advice, and I'm like, okay, so what history or truth have you had to give you the right to give somebody some type of advice? There's a lot of, you know, fakeness going on, and I just don't understand why. But, you know, I can't really sit there and fathom why a moron is going to be a moron, because that's really oxymoron. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it is what it is.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. There's a lot of name calling in this industry, and it is messed up there.
Name calling. She's my sister. He's my brother. She's my sister. Oh, I rock with her. Oh, she's my homegirl. Please. I don't even know you, boo. Please. Where'd you come from? Who?
Yeah.
You know.
Like you said, grinding is really important. You have to keep grinding to get where you want. Like you said, sleeping is overrated. Because if you're sleeping, that means you settle for what you have in life. And I want more.
Exactly.
If I'm rich, I want to be richer. I want, because there's a difference between rich and wealthy. I want to be wealthy.
Exactly. When wealthy, rich is when, you know, you're basically doing well and your situation is nice. But wealthy is when your money works for itself. You know, people need to learn, you know, they misconstrued it to. But, you know, a lot of these rappers and everything, they come from, like, you know, bad situations. They probably grew up in a housing project or public assistance. Or whatever, and they're trying to find a way out. But at the end of the day, you could be a rapper making zillions of dollars, but if you don't know how to count your money and you don't have trustworthy people around you, then all of that, all your work was done and null.
Shit, I want to be securely retired.
Like I said,
securely retired. That's what I want to be. I don't want to stay in PR forever. I don't want to, you know, write for a magazine forever. I want to be securely retired. I mean, my old money is making me new money. That's
exactly.
What I'm
saying. Yeah, exactly.
A lot of generations from, like, say, the ages of, say, 18 to, say, 26, they don't think like that, because they don't even think about tomorrow, let alone next week. You know what I'm saying? It's, like, pathetic. So it's, like, people like us, we need to instill that, like, listen, to, you know, younger versions, like, you know, you need to basically have a backup plan. Not backup plan A, B. You need to have backup plan A through Z, just in case, because, you know, you don't want to be on VH1. Where are they now?
Yeah, absolutely right. That's true. Like I said, I know what it was to be broke. I know what it was to cook from, you know, canned food and things like that for Thanksgiving meal. I know what it was, and I want to go back there. So,
cooking beans and hamburger.
Exactly.
Well, I can't speak on that, because I ain't never been broke. I've always had, because if I didn't have, I'll go get it. But artists,
exactly.
what she's saying to pack it up is simple. There's no 401k in this music industry. So instead of flossing and throwing all that money away, learn how to invest some of that money. So basically, all what she said, there's no future in front. You can buy all that gold and stuff, and black diamonds. I understand black diamonds are worthless. I worked with a jeweler. He said black diamonds are the most flawed diamonds in the market, because diamonds should not be black. Diamonds should have clarity and color. So if you're paying $10,000 on a black diamond, you just got played. So take that money
and
invest it. Right. So they have colors, not be black. So take that money and invest it. Put it back into your career and start creating, go to Fidelity and create a savings plan. One thing I always tell artists I work with, is to say, start saving up your money. As you start making show money, yeah, pay your bills, but start putting money away. Because, like you said, when it comes to where they are now, or ESPN Broke comes on, you don't want to be there. You want to know that you have money in stash. And that's the thing I always did. Even as a child, when I was making money on the side, I was cashing money. Like she said, she worked with Queen Latifah. She, you know, Queen Latifah was a mentor. The guy who helped get me into music was S.I., which is actually my older cousin. S.I. produced all of Nicki. Nicki D. He actually broke Nicki D. He did Queen Latifah. I was in the studio when he did Queen Latifah's Black Rain album. That was the first woman rapper to get a Grammy. I was in the studio when he produced the entire album. That's with Just Another Day and all those songs on it. So again, when he was giving me money from then, I wasn't even spending it because I was a miser. I would go get a beef patty and cocoa bread, and I was back in the studio, and all that money went into a shoebox. So save your money. There's no future in front. You're not fooling nobody. Take your money and stash it. There's nothing wrong with stashing. I mean, I ain't lying. The house I'm living in was some stash money.
I'm not mad at you.
I'll take you to 7-Eleven. My first day, I tell everybody, my first day, there's a 40-ounce Slurpee and a 2-for-2 hot dog.
I'm not mad at you.
If you can't take that, then we can't rock out. We can't rock out if you can't take that 2-for-2 hot dog. Because you're not going to be with me on my broke days. You ain't going to be rocking out with me and when I get money.
Yeah.
So definitely careful of the company you keep, too, because everybody loves you. Look at Iverson. Like, Iverson used to buy everybody Escalades. Now he ain't got no car. No one's around. And the same thing with these rappers. You floss. You took care of your whole entourage. All right, you broke now. Where they at? You think they're going to come back to his 20 grand? Cause no one ain't going to remember your name. So where they are now? Like she said, put that money away. Stash. There's no future in front. Stash that.
You can put the money away, but if you don't have the tools, meaning the mental tools, meaning any type of education to take that money from 10,000 to say 50 and 50 to half a million,
right?
You can stash money. Sooner or later, you're going to start going under that mattress and getting those old face hundreds. So at the end of the day is what I'm saying. You can stash your money, but if you start divesting and reinvesting your money into projects that will pay for itself, you won't. You can keep stashing, but then you'll be like, wait, I didn't know I had that. That's what I'm talking about.
It was, again, that's why I always felt, Fidelity.com. First thing, when I was small, somebody put me on CEO Rikers, why you don't do it? And I'm like, what the hell is a Fidelity? Well, Fidelity is like a brokerage for brokerage house. So I called, and the guy introduced me to mutual funds. I'm like, mutual funds? Yeah, it pays. They can pay 20% on the dollar compared to a bank paying
1%. You're privy to certain things. Some people don't even have $50 to put in a mutual fund
They just bought that bag of weed. Put that bag of weed
in. They have children, and their children don't even have college funds.
You mean the children of the baby, the children they ain't paying child support on?
Even worse.
I work with a lot of rappers.
I'll say this, like for example, for artists, I don't let them in for studio time, but yeah, you go online, my new pair of Jordans.
Yeah, you got new Jordans.
A studio time was like, $40, $50 an hour. I mean, like, now you're talking about the major studio. I'm talking about like a regular studio, you can make a track. You buy the real pair of Jordans. I'm like, so how are you trying to be a rapper? I mean, your priority is wrong. You ain't trying to be a rapper. You're trying to be, well, I can say, like a boy. You're doing this. You're not doing it for love. You're doing it basically for the grammar, whatever you see these rappers are getting. But they're putting work for it.
Yeah, it's fine. That's all it is. You're fine. I believe in hiring a publicist. You know, some people say, I believe you're hiring the right team. Like, we're going to talk about basketball. For instance, I don't know what's going on in the streets, so I'll talk to him. Like, hey, what's going on in the streets? I can't know it all. And he'd be like, yo, this person is about to blow up. And I'm like, well, thanks. And I write that person out, and I do my homework. I mean, you can't know everything, so you need a publicist. Artists need to invest in publicists. You can't know it all. They need a mentor. And like you said, you grew up under the Queen Latifah circle and all that. I tell artists, find a mentor and study under them. I mean, I ain't gonna lie. I'll see Riggs or Daytona in the street, and I'll say right up, I'll say, yeah, these guys are my mentors. And they're like, you're right, just don't say that. Because they know, like, wow, but damn, you actually say that? So, yeah, there's no front in me to tell that y'all helped me with my writing, you helped me with my music, and you helped me put my magazine together. Like, I have no
But there's nothing wrong with that. That just shows you that the person that made that comment is ignorant because and they're never going anywhere because you always have to give credit to basically anybody who instilled you in anything, whether it's financially, mentally, and to me, mental, you know, investment is priceless because, yeah. Like when I told somebody yesterday, as a matter of fact, today, they said I'm bored. I said you should never be bored because whether you're asleep or awake, your brain is still working. That's why you have dreams. So at the end of the day, how are you bored? I said if you're bored, 10 times out of 10, you're broke. So,
I've never heard. I can play the robot myself and never bored. I got a great imagination.
Exactly.
My mind is always running. Like, I never get bored. I was an only child, so I can sit and look at a wall and still entertain myself because I'm always plotting. I'm always plotting on something. I'm always scheming. I'm always plotting. You know, and I tell people all the time, understand, you got your management, you coming in the street, you got to do. There's nothing worse than homeboy management. There's nothing worse than make sure he's not broke with you. Because a broke person can't teach you about being nothing but broke. Make
exactly.
sure you have a great team. Make sure you have a publicist. Huh?
So I respect 50 Cent. 50 Cent said, what can you do for me if you broke?
Exactly. And if you broke, don't be ashamed to say it. I mean, again, go back to 50 Cent. Remember when came out? 50 was like, I got no clothes. I got no wardrobe. No one wants to mess with me. And he came up to the office, and we're sitting there like, oh, wow, look at this kid. But he had heart. He had stamina.
There's no
shame. Like,
there's no shame in humility.
There ain't no shame. And he came up to the office and we, hey, there's nothing wrong with that. And look at 50 Cent.
I ain't even going to say party. I'm going to say event that I did for Wendy Williams many years ago when she first came out with George the South Champagne, probably like in 2005. And I went to her husband, which is my boss now, which is her manager and my manager. He says to me, I say, you know, he knows me from parties and we know each other, you know, just in, you know, in circles that we run or whatever the case may be. So I'm like, you know what, I think I could throw you a really dope launch party for the champagne. He's like, well, Wendy costs XYZ. And I'm like, well, she's out of my budget. I kept it 100. I was like, she's out of my budget. But what I could do for you is, if you give me the chance, I won't fail. And he's like, you sure? And look at it, 2013. I'm like, one of the highest paid event planners, publicists. Work for Wendy Williams, who has like one of the number one daytime television shows on the planet. And I'm like, because I went to him and showed humility back in the Cheetah Club in 2005 and said, listen, I think you need to give me a chance. And I presented myself and I told him the pros and cons of the situation. And he gave me a chance to look at it. People don't do that anymore. They're like, they don't want to show any type of humility. They say, oh, you know, I don't need this, I don't need that. Somebody needs something out of somebody somewhere. I don't care, you know, anybody on this earth is good for something. So at the end of the day, it's like if people need to give chances, but a person needs to, like, show that they're worthy of that chance. And a lot of these younger people, they feel like, oh, I got a couple of thousand in my pocket, I'm popping mollies, I'm drinking, you know, champagne, but they live in a fucking tenement apartment, and they fucking live with food stamps,
they
and
mama.
All these mothers don't have no fucking chances for their kids, and they owe child support fronting. So it's at the end of the day, it's like a whole big cycle, you know, and I feel like until you change the mentality when the children are growing up, things will never change. That's true.
Agreed.
I like to say people still need a publicist. I mean, you just kind of, I mean, I know it was like some things that you said earlier, but I think what you just did is, as you go back to what I said, a lot of artists, if you're trying to come out, I know you can get everywhere, you can't get everywhere, you got to find a publicist, you know. And
you got to find a lawyer first.
They don't even know what a publicist is.
Yeah, but like I said, you got to find a publicist. I mean, some people say you got to find a publicist because the publicist is going to do 10 times the work you can do because they're going to be contacting all the media sites, the magazines. They're going to find out what DJ's popping on market, and that saves you a lot. And it's going to cost you a few hundred dollars a month, but it's worth it. I'm sorry, Talk Mommy. I know you was about to say something.
Oh, yeah. I just
$200 a month? Hold up. Back up.
$200?
I charge that for a press release. The writer.
But, you know, it depends on the caliber of the artist, though.
Yeah, I'm going to help them out, though. I'm sorry.
So I'm going to bring them in one by one. I'm going to bring in, he's been on for a minute. He's from New York. The last four is 1802. You're live on the air. Do you have a question?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I was talking to a good friend of mine that I just recently met. Her name is Aston on DVM. But anyway, there's a couple of things. So first thing, my questions are really specific. Poor Man's Copyright versus the Library of Congress. Which one do you favor for protecting your material?
Library of Congress. Poor Man's Copyright does not stand up in court.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a good start, but yeah, they're going to stand up in court. I mean, if you certify mail it with return receipt to yourself to start, until you get it, you know, at least you have something. But, yeah, you got to go to the Library of Congress because at the end of the day, you can't argue with the feds. You know, at the end of the day, you're not going to argue with the feds. So, you know, even though that the four-man copyright will hold you to start because at the end of the day, if it's you and ten people fighting, you know, you still give you some kind of saying, like, you know, because the court will still look at it. As long as you certify mail it, return receipt to yourself, do not open it. But don't just sit on it. You got to, you know, it's easier, it's more valid if you contact the Library of Congress because you basically went to the government and you got that stamp, that seal. But that poor man copy will hold you. But it ain't, you know, like you said, it can be, you can, if somebody has that Library of Congress seal, you know, it could bump you.
Yeah. Okay. I beat that in 5 minutes. I beat that poor man copyright in 5 minutes.
All right.
You read the book.
I got two more. My next question is very, very specific. Okay, an up-and-coming artist is actually looking to network and actually get a feature from an established artist. Now, particularly in 2013, most established artists are not local to you. So the deal is to you to collaborate with the artist across the internet. How does the artist, the up-and-coming artist, who of course pays the established artist in advance, protect themselves from losing that money and that investment legally while doing the best to secure that the artist fulfills the agreement and performs on the song?
That's what lawyers are for.
Yeah, that's a lawyer. I don't really think there's a way to protect an investment because that's why it's called an investment. An investment is a risk. So it's not really, if you're investing something, there's a chance you could lose it. So there's really no way of protecting yourself. Like you said, you need a lawyer is the best person because if the person doesn't fulfill the contract, you wouldn't be able to sue for damages. You don't want to go to his house and threaten his life. You want to be able to at least get him in a civil court. So, you know, the lawyer would be the safest thing to do in that situation.
All right. And
then you can beat him up and he'll sue you. No, so.
Yeah, because he could sue you for basically using his likeness for, you know, and what happens if you have a hit, or say you have a flop, I'm just saying, God forbid, you have a flop and you use 50 Cent, let's say your name is Macaroni featuring 50 Cent, and the song is whack, but then you say to yourself, you invested, and say, $50,000 for him to do 16 bars or whatever the case may be, and your song, you know, you might download maybe 10,000, 20,000 on iTunes for 99 cents each, and you're out of pocket $30,000, and then he turns around and, you know, 50 Cent could say, well, you know, I basically gave him my time, and I'm a multi-million dollar, multi-platinum artist, and I sat there, and he'll be like, well, I wasn't compensated. So at the end of the day, that's why you have to get an agreement with a lawyer, you know, certified and everything. So basically, it basically protects your situation. And trust me, they're not going to give you bars for free because they're going to ask you to sign an agreement as well. Because if that hit does go crazy, they're going to talk about, well, what's my royalties off the hit, even though you paid them their appearance.
How much more am I getting of this? So, yeah, you definitely want, that's why you want a lawyer, because the lawyer makes sure that paperwork says, here's 50, you get nothing else. So you want to basically make sure you protect yourself in that. A lawyer is the safest person in that situation.
I'm not talking about no H&R, I mean, well, no people being liars lawyer. I'm talking about a good, you know, lawyer that's going to basically, it could be a grad school student, but long as the agreement is basically beneficial to your part, to your person, you need to, because they could turn around and flip it and be like, well, this is my song. I had an artist that I was dealing with 2 years ago who did a song called Everybody Loves Me. He's from Rochester, New York, but he lives in Atlanta, and he did a song with Rich Boy, the rapper, and it went crazy. It didn't go crazy in the North, but it went crazy in the South because Rich Boy is from Alabama, and it went crazy. Like, it made crazy money. And Rich Boy, basically what he did was took the guy's grandson's, vocals off the single and featured it on his mix CD. And he put that on his mix CD that Rich Boy signed to Interscope and whatever thing. And Jimmy Iovine basically was like, all right, well, you had to make an agreement. It was a handshake. So nobody could say anything. And in essence, that was Rich Boy's, that was grandson's song. Grandson produces beat everything, but that was Rich Boy's song because he wasn't smart enough to go to a room.
All right. And my last thing will have to be, can you explain what ASCAP or SoundScan is to artists right now that are listening?
Well, I mean, those are two different things. SoundScan is more or less sales. ASCAP is your publisher. That's basically who's going to basically make sure you get paid.
Yes.
Once you register with the publishing house, he's going to make sure that you get paid. SoundScan, I don't even think it's really, I never could really understand SoundScan. Honestly, I just know it calculates sales. But, again, I've worked in the industry a long time, and I've seen, like, three different books. And I'm like, I'm confused right now because I'm seeing three different sales amounts. So what is the sound scan? Well, there's this. Well, then what's that? Because I just saw that. But ASCAP's for BMI or CSAC, right? CSAC is the other one. CSAC, their job is to make sure that you get paid. Publishing from, like, if somebody uses it at an event, radio, their job is to make sure you get your check. Sound scan is just register sales, but you can't really, really believe the sound scan because you can,
sound scan basically register, like, where your albums or singles, where is it selling at, which region?
Right.
Or, like, for example, East Coast, that's where the overall, that's how they basically calculate how much you sold within the whole U.S., and then it goes beyond, Europe and all that. That's basically what you're saying.
Right. But also, now you got to remember now with the digital age, the digital reports don't come out until the next quarter. So, what I was talking about. So, SoundScan can say you sold 50,000 records. But now the digital report don't come out for another quarter, which is like 2-3 months. So so you don't know what's going on. Like right now, you really need to get a business manager, and the business manager's job is to make sure that he waits for that report to come out in the quarter and find out what you sold digitally. Because you don't get those digital reports weekly. You get them like 2-3 months in advance. I mean, later. So you really don't know. Yeah, you don't know what's going on. So a business manager, not your homeboy, but a real business manager, of course you give him a reminder, and ASCAP will do the reminder as well because they know about it. But you make sure that he waits for that report to come from Amazon, iTunes, and find out what was sold there. And that's what I mean. Like, I used to see three different reports, and I didn't know what was going on. I'm like, okay, so this is physical. That's your physical. So what's this? Well, that's digital. Well, what's that? Well, that's... What's another one, like when they got the ringtones or something, like there's another way of selling it? So I'm like,
it's so much. It's so much right now in this era that you have to really be on point with it.
Yeah, you got to get a good business manager or a good publisher. I mean, ASCAP and them are very good. CSAC, BMI, they're good at getting your money because, they get paid. So they're going to get you your money because they're going to get them. They need to get their money because they get a percentage. So, but again, you still got to do your own homework. So a good business manager will take care of you.
I want to thank y'all very much. I know a lot of other people that have a lot of questions and things like that. So
thank you for your call, cousin.
If I could ask anybody who could follow me on Twitter, if I can be in touch with the rest of you guys and we can talk further, because I'm also one become an artist myself. And there's a couple things I like to learn as well as do. So I'll be in touch with you guys. I know I'm following Ms. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I know the young lady, I think I'm following her on BBM, I believe, and we're in contact on BBM. And I'd like to know if I could just exchange my information and you guys could further be in touch with me in the future.
Okay, well, my name is Rikers, like the island, so, you know, can't go wrong with that. It's
R-I-K-E-R-S. Yeah, I'm kind of familiar with that.
Yeah, well, that's
what
I'm
talking about.
Oh, wow. I took Rikers from the prison, so I got Rikers, straight Rikers.
Yeah, I watched the Yankees win the World Series in there, man.
Exactly. It's crazy.
All right,
so,
man.
Hit me on Rikers. I mean, that's me.
All right.
Okay, we have another call. I want to say this is from West Palm Beach 561. The last numbers is 2855.
How y'all doing today?
All right.
How are you?
Yeah. Hey, I'm doing great. I really want to thank you all for taking the time out of your schedule to make this possible. Amazing information, and it is definitely greatly appreciated. And hopefully at the end of this, they won't ask for my credit card info because this is definitely worth some money. my question for you is I am in South Florida, we're in Palm Beach, and I have two artists that I manage, a male artist and a female artist, and I'm sticking with just two artists. And my question is, what kind of advice can you give to a manager? I have more of a business background. I do own a couple companies here in South Florida. And the way I came about with these artists was just a God thing. And for the past year, what we've been doing is focusing on learning more about the industry. But for my artists, we've been focusing on their catalog, just building their catalog. And now we've got them to where their album is pretty much done, not released yet. There is no set date for the release yet because 2013 right now, we're planning on focusing on performances and videos and just traveling around and hitting pretty much every spot we can hit, and also, you know, trying to do some possible tours and everything else. And that's kind of like my game plan for now, you know, the short version. And I just want to get some feedback on that from you if I could.
Wait, can I answer the question first? Question, your artist, you're from southern Florida. What clubs are your artists? You don't have to have it. First off, you don't have to have an album to make money. Usually people don't, you make money more on singles than albums. That's a fact. But second off, what clubs, just say clubs or DJs are playing your artist's song? Because if the streets are behind you, you'll be successful. That's when the streets ask for your artist songs, that's when the radio hears the buzz and then radio DJs start playing your songs just pro bono, like, oh, my gosh, this shit was crazy. The club went crazy. XYZ, you got like 3,000 customers right there. But my thing is, once you start, I would honestly tell you to start from the streets before you basically think that you're just going to delve into the industry, because if you don't have the people, the customers that are going to go to Target and buy that CD, then what?
You're absolutely right about that. You need a credibility. You need your credibility if you're going to be in this biz.
That's why I ask a lot of artists, like this DJ. I'm just saying, you could be DJ Rikers, right? And he's the hottest DJ in his city. And he comes out with a mix CD every 6 to 8 weeks. If your single is not on his CD, then you're not hot. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, like, right. You have to do your homework on who is the hottest artist in West Palm Beach, Florida, that's running the radio or doing, you know, parties, what's the clubs, etc. It don't matter if you're a rapper, you're a R&B singer, you're a rock and roller, you're a grunge singer, it doesn't matter. If these where your target audience is not hearing your music, then what is what I'm saying?
Right, right. No, that makes that definitely makes sense. What we've been doing is, because I've been reading a lot of various articles as well. Well, this year right here, 2013, is the year that we hit the streets because we've been really focused on the digital world as well. You know, where we got the youth, you know, the Facebook maxed out, you know, 5,000 plus friends plus like 20-something thousand subscribers. We got the Twitter, you know, up to like, you know, 20-something thousand and whatever. But at the end of the day is our own backyard. We've been focusing so much on the digital world that we weren't really focusing on the in our own backyard. And that's what we want to try to do this year right here is focus on the performances and then going out there and just hitting the clubs and everything else and connecting and networking, okay. like y'all mentioned up there with the various DJs and the you know, industry gurus out there, and you know, try to get our foot in the door and just get that credibility. You know, we've had opportunities where we could have paid to get features from some name artists for some cash, but at this point in time, I didn't think it was something to consider. Yeah, because it will just die quick. Because he has no following.
I mean, paying for an artist feature is good because it gets you on the map quick. But again, like you said, what the featured artist is going to do most of the time is just throw you off the record anyway. Especially if it's hot. He's like, oh, man, I'm going to edit this person off. So, I mean, she gave a great example because I've seen that done millions of times where you go to a feature and you're like, wait a minute, why is that rapper just spitting my verse? He's spitting my song.
He got your whole song, and you are not even heard.
So, honestly, and also with that, who's working your social? Are you managing the social networks and everything?
Yeah, we both are, but the artist is mostly doing it. But I'm kind of overseeing it as well.
That's good. Okay, so, I mean, go ahead.
No, he's very hands-on, and one thing I like, and I early on the show, you know, I was listening to y'all speak about the different types of artists and the cocky artists and the humble artists and everything else, and my artist is both cocky and humble.
Artist is cocky and humble?
Yeah, it's weird.
So you're saying that they have bravado? You're saying you cannot be cocky and humble at the same time.
That's not too wrong. Cocky and humble, that's a good mix, but it ain't too many of that.
I know you're
trying to be nice to them, but like I said, if they're working a social, then you as a DJ, like you said, all you need is a single. Like I always tell people, I sell people singles. Take that single and hit the streets with it. And you take it while they're working the social, you go to the local venues and meet those DJs. Because if the DJ ain't playing that record, you can't go nowhere. You need a DJ to play that record.
You could have 1,000 friends on Facebook. You could have 1,000 friends on MySpace. If you're not having 1,000 people on Facebook and you're not selling your single for 99 cents, okay, then you make yourself $100,000. I can see that. You could have, but, you know, if your fan base, you could have a fan base, but if your fan base is in Austria, then what? And you don't even have a fan base in Florida, you need to go to your homeboy, your artists that have homeboys, of course, or homegirls. They need to get their friends and family to go out there, get some freaking T-shirts made up with their name and likeness, and whenever they want to go out and shake out, they need to start representing them and branding them. Like, this is Rikers.com. This is Noodles.com. This is such and such. And when they go out, they need to bring their mix CDs with them. It don't necessarily have to be, they could be rapping or singing or dancing or whatever, bojangling over somebody else's song. But at the end of the day, as long as they're out there, any exposure is exposure. So,
yes, sir.
I mean.
You're right. Well said.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then we have our merch that we're I do one of the
That's
companies
good.
That I own is a screen printing and embroidery company. So as far as getting T-shirts and all that kind of stuff, I mean, we make them in house. So that's not a problem.
Then hit the swap meets, hit the local campuses, hit the mall and stuff. Flipping that merch. You know, you got to when people start wearing that T-shirt, that's your billboard.
Just have to get something catchy. Wear that to the mall. Get their girlfriend's baby mother. I don't know. Just get anybody to wear anybody. get their grandmother to do. You got freaking YouTube these days. People become stars on YouTube. Go on YouTube and do a homemade barbecue video, and then you go out and you get 50 to 100 people in the backyard wearing the same T-shirt. Rikers.com. At the end of the day, a person like me might just be surfing the net like, yo, who the fuck is Rikers.com? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
out of sight, out of mind. If I'm not viewing you, I'm not thinking about you.
Yep. Remember who did that perfectly? Mike Jones. Remember when Mike Jones came out, he put his phone
number
on his
Perfect example.
He came up with the number and everything.
That was like the most brilliant scheme
ever
that he had in the 21st century. I'm not mad at him.
His real
you don't even
got to
come out with
a phone
because people just know who he is. Who was Mike Jones? And he had a telephone number.
Yep. And then he had that niche, that Mike Jones. So he had a niche. So he had something where people, you know, it was something catchy with people because people want to follow. I mean, not no disrespect to people, but people naturally want to follow. You got some people who are leaders. You got 99% of people who are followers, dumb, deaf, and blind, and they want to follow. Your job is to make them follow you. What is going to make them follow you over the other 20 artists in your town? You got to give them a niche, something that's going to be like a catchphrase. You have a catchphrase. Develop a catchphrase and let them know it's your catchphrase. You got to hit them DJs. Let them DJs know I'm going to take, when I go to the top, I'll take you with me. Here's some Hennessy. Yo, let's go. Here, you want to go to the strip club? I'll buy you a lap dance. But I need you playing that single. Like, we used to go to Land of Meet, you know, forget about it. Like you people have, like, well, GZ was hot. Yeah, because when BMF walked in the building, oh, forget about it.
It was like 70 dudes and dudettes with BMF t-shirts on it in place. I never forget going to Atlanta and going to, what club was it? The Velvet Room on a Tuesday, which is considered a dead night for Alex's party. And I go up in there, and this was before Meech was locked up. And I go in there, and the first time I met Lou Da Vinci, I was with DJ Self from New York City or whatever.
Yeah.
And
105. Yeah,
he had Power 105. Long story short, the head of the union. And I never forget, we in there, and I'm like, wait a minute, who the fuck all these motherfucking niggas in here with, like, 50 deep, nice-looking men, too, with a whole bunch of bad bitches, okay? A whole bunch of bad bitches looking like a real freaking uncut video on BET. And I'm sitting there, and they all got BMF t-shirts on in red, blue, orange. It don't matter. They all got it on because they're all as a unit. And I'm saying to myself, I want to know who the fuck that is. Not because he got on diamonds and everything, of course, because I'm like a flashy, you know, people get, you know, visualized in different ways. But I'm like, I want to know who the fuck that is. DJ Self wanted to know who the fuck that is. And you know what? I can honestly, prophetically say DJ Self was the first person in New York City to break Lou Da Vinci, and I forgot the other rapper's name, Get Low, in the clubs. We talking about Club D. We talking about Stereo. We Marquee Mansion. Anywhere DJ Self motherfucking did whatever, DJed, he broke them songs, and people went fucking bonkers. I still to this day go bonkers with that song, and that song was like 5 years old.
Right,
but
so
at
they
the
made
end
a movement
day,
out of it.
It's like,
you know
what?
Like they said, they made you want to be a part of it. That's what you got to do in your local market. People, you got to want people to gravitate to you. Don't be in the crowd and they don't even know you're there. They got to feel your presence. And like I said, don't have it just make them where they feel your presence. Give them that niche.
That's why they call stars, because stars first, they go pow.
Yeah, exactly. So
you can't be a star and be lackluster. Sorry, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Gotta be popping out.
You might as well be a script writer for a movie or be a ghostwriter then. I tell artists all that. If you want to be a star, you can't be lackluster. Because if you have no type of charisma, nobody's going to watch you. You got to have some type of, I don't care if you're smart, you're sexy, whatever. You know, whatever. You got to have some type of niche. Like he said, look at what's that fool who just got signed on Def Jam? His song is like number one in the planet right now.
Oh,
and
Trinidad.
He's
back to talking about fucking Trinidad James.
But look at his video. He has on freaking Gucci pants, Versace shoes, a silk shirt looking like freaking
Jerome
the dude
from
fucking Martin. And he ain't talking about nothing. But that dude is right now with one single.
Looking like Jerome.
Looking like Jerome from Martin. And he's looking like Jerome. And he's getting $50,000 for appearance fees already.
But he's getting sued for all of that for stealing Jerome's persona. Martin is suing his ass.
Oh, yeah, I heard about
it.
That.
It ain't doing him no good.
In a sense, he is stealing his persona. But, you know, it's whatever works for him right now. You know, just like Rick Ross stole the real Rick Ross's persona. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. But at the end of the day, you know, the Rick Ross would not be, the rapper would not be where he is if he didn't try to, proclaim our lifestyle. He raps about what the real Ricky Ross did in real life to a T. That's why he's getting sued to this day. But at the end of the day, it's like, yo, you got to be something.
Yeah.
You got to be something. Because we live in a
fashion-socialist
society. Me and Rikers could be your friend on Tuesday, and then on Thursday come, I don't even want to know you if you look boring. Boring does not sell. Period.
Yeah,
if you want to be boring, sing about Jesus.
No. Get fucked up by some lightning by your damn self. Don't be talking that shit about
me. I'm saying, when you want to be warm and you got to sing about, you know, spiritual songs, meaning like, not secular music.
Yeah, that's the new idea.
Andre Crouch ain't boring. Shit.
Well,
I'm talking
not,
about
I'm
you.
Not,
I can't follow you down
opinion.
That yellow brick road. No, you can go to hell by your damn self. No.
People want to hear Latin music. Keep it 100.
People want to
hear
ratchet
music.
Yeah,
period.
It's the truth. And I mean, like I said, I don't go there, but I mean, we think gospel do. It's a new niche. What they're looking for is a new niche. So at the end of the day, gospel is a new R&B to me because it sounds like more 80s R&B than what I'm hearing now. This new stuff sounds like ratchet R&B. So find a niche in the market and make sure there's a consumer for it. Find your local DJs. Make sure you buddy-buddy with them. Find a local hot artist. Do small collaborations with them. And find that niche. Find a reason for people wanting to gravitate to you. So while they on that Twitter, you be in the streets. Then you make sure they're in the streets because after a while they're gonna be like, okay, who's the artist behind this? Don't let them talk a lot and make sure you get a good lawyer because if you're still trying to get a situation, A&Rs can't sign. There's only like 2 A&Rs with signing power in the industry anyway. Period. Everything is signed through lawyers right now. So make sure you start developing a lawyer with relationships.
Right. No, that makes perfect sense. We're an open thing with that. Being online and even having all the followers on Twitter and everything else, it seems like it's very diluted because the world is so big and these followers are from all around. So even if you go to any remote location here and try to put on a show, most of those people aren't going to show up because they're so diluted. They're spread around. So right now we're focusing on just.
Should I tell you 100,000 followers? The followers don't mean shit. I can tell you 100,000 followers. You have to have engagement. You have to have engagement and people who are talking back to you and who are willing to put their butt in and see. You know what I mean? The Twitter followers and all that juke numbers means absolutely nothing. And I agree with you. It is diluted. But, you know, if you have organic followers, 100,000 organic followers, and your clout score is somewhere around 75 because every time you send out a tweet, you have 250, 300, 400 retweets. You know, then you're showing some engagement. You're showing some movement, some organic movement, some viral. So, Twitter and Facebook, those things don't mean a damn thing if you're buying that stuff. Yeah.
Unless you're selling your music on those sites.
Yeah.
Right. Unless you're selling your music. Communicate
with them.
There's a whole package that goes with that. You know, one element doesn't work. It's like having a publicist but having no marketing plan. You know what
exactly.
I mean? You need the publicity and marketing are different animals. You know what I mean? Although they do come together and work together. A marketing plan without someone who has the knowledge to push it, such as a publicist, it doesn't work. You know what I mean? So you have to have a combination of everything. Stay away from, you know, too much emphasis on one thing and have a solid package, as everyone is saying. You know what I mean? Because just to, and I hate to keep even saying this guy's name, but the guy that we were talking about with all the gold shit, you know what I mean? He had a marketing plan. Someone said, hey, you know what? Matter of fact, I used to do video reviews for Guerrilla League, and I actually posted that damn video because somebody on Twitter gave it to me and said, check it out. I'm going to put it up just because. So about 4 months before All Gold Everything hit anywhere, I had already put that shit up on Guerrilla League. And strangely enough, the dude was so weird that, you know, within 2 days, I had over 10,000 views on that video, that review, you know. But it still took a month, you know what I mean, to get anywhere, because he still had to put into play the publicist like Madam, and then the marketer like Rikers or Ant. You know what I mean? All of that had to come together in order to push it forward. It wasn't just one item. So I may have gotten a little off track, but, you know. Anyway.
No, you're definitely on track.
Mm. So,
yeah, no, I mean, this is all.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead. I'm fine. I talk a lot anyway.
Yeah, but I'd rather you talk than I talk. I learn more when you talk. I already know what I'm going to say.
I think that everybody that, you know, Ant, Rikers, Madam, you know, myself, I'm not as experienced on the production side or, you know, some of the event production side, whatever. But I think that have an overall goal, you know, the project management storyboard starts at A and you're trying to get to Z, and you have these benchmarks in between that you have to achieve in order to complete your goal. So you have to tie everything all together and create an overall package, have a business plan, know where you want to go, know where you want to end up, know where you are, and pull together people who can help you make that happen within their niches. This needs to have a complete package. You know, I heard several things. I heard you talking about a T-shirt company, and I heard you talking about artists, and as I'm trying to pull your story together, it wasn't, you know, totally clear to me what it is that you were really trying to achieve. So I would like to just ask a specific question. Exactly what are you trying to achieve with the diverse elements that you brought into the conversation?
Well, my main focus right now is to hit the streets with my artist. And my question was, I try to give a little bit of what I do just to make sure that, you know, that was the right approach. A lot of people are saying, no, go digital, stay digital. Well, we did the digital. We're okay on the digital, not great, but okay. But we're missing, like, we don't have that whole package. We're missing the streets. And that's our goal in 2013.
But the digital thing is the easiest thing, honestly. I'm only speaking for myself. Is the easiest thing to do because you don't have to perform, you don't have to go in front of people, you can just sit by a computer and watch your sales rack up. But I'm just saying, and I'm just only speaking for myself, Madam Miska, you kind of don't sound like you believe in your artists because you're not even selling them to us. I'm just saying, like, you just, you know, you're like, do you believe in your artists? Like, are you passionate about them? Because you kind of, I don't know, I'm not getting that from you. And that right there, a person like myself or Strikers, whatever, we feed off that. You know, they're like, well, is he just trying to be a manager to say he's a manager? Like, you know, I don't know.
No,
I don't know. I'm not getting
that
from you, like that hungriness, or I don't even know what to say. I'm not getting that from you.
Well, I think I understand the question about whether to go digital or hit the streets. I did an article for Yahoo a few months back that, you know, digital is the new music industry, So what Madam said there about digital being easier, you know, is true. If you're looking at sales, if you're looking at creating a persona that is, you know, not just web-based, then you do need to hit the streets with your artists, and they do need to perform. You know, as Madam said earlier on in the conversation, you know, you need to be, as a manager, you need to be able to say, my artist performed, what are the last three shows that your artist performed? You know, what are the DJs in the cities that are pushing your artist? You need to have, and Riker said it as well, and Ant said it as well, you know, you need to have that connection with the real people in order to complete the package. So digital is a way for you to maintain control, keep your money, you know what I mean, and make things happen as far as revenue stream, but you also do need to hit the streets and be in the club and get out of your neighborhood. I mean, it's fine to be a hero in your backyard, but, you know, as weak-minded as many people's homies are, they're going to be like, yeah, man, you sound great. You know why? Because they want you to make it so they can feed off of you. All right?
Uh-huh.
You need to get out somewhere. You need to get out there somewhere where people don't know you and break yourself in a new market. Expand your boundaries. And, you know, the digital world is a way to do that and create a revenue stream where you can go to Australia, you can go to, you know, Asia, where, you know, most American artists find it easier to break and create retail sales, hard copy sales, you know, as opposed to here in America where everybody wants you to give them the damn mix CD. You know, you're putting your best shit on your mix CD and you're blowing your wad right there, you know what I mean? So, you know, you have nothing left for your album. So, but you got to hit the street too. It's a combination of everything, you know. For the revenue stream, digital is easier. You can, you know, go viral with your videos, you know, Psy, Gangnam Style. Motherfucker started in Korea, all right? He's a K-pop guy. You know, that video broke, once again, on Guerrilla League and Vimeo, you know, 7 months before it hit the mainstream. But it just grew. And then, you know, people went out to these high schools and colleges and said, what do you think of this? And they took panels from kids, but they had to hit the streets. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like I said, I'm not an artist or a manager or anything like that, but high school tours, you know, if they still do the lunch tours and things like that, those things will be valuable for you and your artist if it's, you know, age-appropriate music that you could go and perform, you know, at places like that, the college tours. You got to hit the street in addition to the digital, you know. Revenue stream, digital. Keep your money. You know what I mean? You make more money, you keep more money, but you also have to hit the street. It's a combination of both. Did I answer your question?
Oh, yes, you did. Very well. Yeah, that's pretty much what it was, and I do appreciate the time that you took to answer the question. And that's the biggest thing I wanted to understand was, you know, your thoughts on digital versus the streets, which is really not a versus, it's a combination. You really need to be, you know, diversified. And I do right now, next month, my artist is going to be performing, you know, on stage with Fantasia, Mario, Ace Hood, and a few others, and doing
okay.
Thing.
Yeah, next month, when and where? Next month, when and where? This is, you're on the radio, brother. You got a global audience. Spit it out, like Madam said. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, this is going to be in Dan Calloway Park in Riviera Beach. It's going to be a two-day event. There's going to be all kinds of different performers and everything, and my artist, Presley Mack, is going to be there. It's February 23rd and 24th. It's 1420 West 10th Avenue, Riviera Beach. And, there's going to be all these artists, and there's a lot of promotion going on and even more. And, great opportunity for us, and like I said, they're expecting a little over 20,000
to show.
Oh, that's a great opportunity.
You want to make sure we get known in the backyard and everything else, and you know, everything I do. I mean, I spent countless dollars on my artists. I'm spending more. I spend a lot of time. I go out there and I talk to people. I network, but I spend a lot of time also on the internet. I spend a lot of time on various blogs, articles, and various things. I do have a music entertainment attorney who's on deck. I do have a team of about 14 that kind of help with the social and with the some of the promotion, marketing, and we do some collaborations and various things, and with some artists here, we put on contests and competitions in our areas just to get some people to kind of get to know us and what we do, and so I mean, there's a lot of things that we try to do, and I am definitely passionate about it. I'm excited. I'm sorry that it doesn't come through over the phone, but my two beautiful little girls are sleeping right now, so I'm trying not to make too much noise and everything. That's what that is. I really want my artist to be a household name, and I don't claim to be the know-it-all in the music industry, because I'm definitely not. But I am on that path. I am learning. I am taking the time. I am investing both time and money. And, I'm hoping that – and we've been working together for a year. We've accomplished a lot in 1 year. And, hopefully this year, 2013, with everything that we've put in place and the plans that we have, we do have plans. Now it's just seeing them through. And hopefully 2013 will be a better year than 2012.
Best wishes for you, man.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And, again, I want to thank you all for your time.
Yeah, just keep going.
Thanks for the question.
What was that?
Thanks for the question, man.
Thank you. And like the other caller asked, I heard a few of you say that you like to you're doing this out of your heart. You try to help other artists and kind of, open their eyes and let them know what's going on. And I have been taking notes. And one of the things that I really, enjoyed was, one of the things that I really found interesting was the signing the deals at the end of the year thing for the possible tax write-off. And that makes, perfect. I own a tax firm as well. So when it comes to taxes, that's what I do as well. That made perfect sense.
But make sure you take that money. If they do that to you, take that money and make sure you invest it back into your career.
Yes, exactly. Right. You're absolutely right about that.
Most people don't take that money. The thing is, I see a lot of them, they get that money and they splurge it. And I'll be like, because you're about to be broke. And then take that money and reinvest it in themselves and let them drop you. Look what happened. That's what happened to Wiz Khalifa. They took him originally and dropped him. He went bumped again and then got a bigger deal. They're like, well, why you went back to a major? Because the major's going to take you global. He banked already. He's like, I can come back on my own terms. So, like I said, that happens to you, then take that money and run with it. But, good luck at your show. Definitely make sure you network. Find all the publicists, all the DJs, all those promoters. Get all their contacts. You don't even need to buy selling merch. Try to network.
Yeah.
And do y'all have blogs or anything where you continue to provide this information? Or how do you that's one thing. You guys said you do this from the heart. You try to educate people. Do you have blogs or anything that you do where people can kind of sign up just to follow?
I don't really do it no more. I just help people because I see all the fuckery in the industry. So I'm like the anti-industry after being buried in this thing for so long. So you can hit me up, Rikers, like the island, R-I-K-E-R-S on Twitter. Or I'm on Facebook, I'm Rikers L, R-I-K-E-R-S-E-L, space E-L. And, we can talk, then like I said, some of them we can exchange numbers and, we can just talk and network. Because, I see a lot of the crap that happened in the industry to people, and I wish there were people like us around, like even men, I've seen women get bamboozled because there were no women around to help them.
You know, and I'd be like, and as a man, it's hard for me to come at them because they're already apprehensive because they're like, well, it's a man. And I'm like, dude, but a woman, they would have been okay with a woman. So I'm doing this, and I know most of us in here are doing this because we've seen what happened to people, and I just want to make a change. You know, I want to be able to help out somebody else. And like I said, I only ask some people's dinner. If you blow up, can you just buy me dinner? I don't want no money from you. I don't think you owe me nothing. I wouldn't mind dinner, though, because I like to eat. That's all I tell people. Just buy me dinner.
Hey,
your wife is
good looking
out. His dinner. Hey.
Hey, he sounds either Cuban or Puerto Rican, so I want some arroz con gandules and some
tostones.
I want some good food too. Yeah.
I think my hair is like that.
I have a blog. That I do put up stuff. It's the urbanlink.net. I spend most of my time, though, as the editor of the Hype magazine. And we do have times that we post, you know, like music 101 stuff, artist 101 stuff. I also, you know, write for Yahoo, so I do some things there. You can just Google me, Jerry Dobie, you'll find it. But I think that you seem to have the energy. You're on the right track. I think that what Madam does might help you a lot more than, you know, what any of us can do. You're spending the money and you're doing events, and she has a specific skill set that might be of value to you. So I think that she would be someone that you would want to, you know, pursue as you're trying to move around the country. Because, you know, one thing that, you know, it cost me a lot of money coming up to learn the PR game. I blew a lot of money, and but I have some great mentors. What I didn't get was the advice of how to pick and choose the team. And if you're spending thousands of dollars to develop an artist and get them out there, as you launch, you want to do things strategically. And to have somebody holding your hand, yes, you have to pay her. But at the same time, she has some successes. And someone, if not her, someone like her, would be a great asset to your team as you move out into the world, out of the backyard, you know, to make sure that your events are successful, that your I's are dotted and your T's are crossed, because it seems like you're at that next level, you know, where you're not just doing the local, you know, you're not doing quinceañeras or, you know, fucking Bolo the Clown birthday parties or some shit like that. You've got some seriousness about you. You're obviously an entrepreneur. You have a tax service. So as I pick, you know, the little details out that you're putting out there, it appears to me that you might be at the level where you could use someone who can help you launch your artist and your brand strategically, you know, so that you're not out there spinning your wheels. And, you know, right now, my friend, you have four experienced people in their own way, a lot of diverse experience. I couldn't do an event for you, but I know that Madam, that's what she does. You know what I mean? And she's very successful, and she, you know, has paid her dues and is continuing to pay her dues as she learns and grows. So someone, if not her, like I said, someone like her, as you begin to book your artists and move them around to these different festivals and you're launching products, have someone on hand, like soon, to help you get the best return on your investment for that. And then I'm done.
Oh, no, that makes sense. And the strategic is the key part is there's so many ways that I can go, so many things that I can do. I have opportunities literally every day in my inbox of things that can be done. And just because it can be done doesn't mean it should be done. And that's one of the things that just, you know, it's okay, what is, even though I have a plan and everything else, you know, sometimes, you know, I have to keep asking myself, is this the best
strategy here? Is this where really should I really fork to the right or to the left here? And both of them seem to be taking us to the end result, but sometimes you never know which one's actually going to take you faster or not. Sometimes I feel like I need just a GPS or something.
You just need a team. You need a team of experienced professionals to help you. And
that's what I need.
The way you're talking, it appears that you are at that level on the business side. See, you know, now it's not for fun. It's not a hobby. You know what I mean?
Right.
When you start to invest your money, you become, you're on a whole different level. And as a business person, you understand that, obviously. So, you know, now, just by the way that you're talking, I don't know you personally. I don't know your artist. You know, I hope to at some point, you know, and would certainly be glad to know more, as I'm sure we all would. But the way you're speaking, it tells me that your storyboard is at a point where you're getting ready to peak, and you're going to come out and spread your wings and spread your artist wings. And now is the time, right now is the time to have the team available to you so that you don't make those decisions by yourself, so that you have someone to pick their brain and they are not, you know, intimately involved with, you know, how you started, how you grew up, all of that. All they're looking at it is from business, first of all, because our record of success, you know, depends on how successful we are for our clients. And now is the time for you to just stop, put on your brakes, and get somebody that can answer those questions that you have. Because when you're asking questions at the level that you're asking, it means that you're ready to move forward, and you need the strength of someone with experience to say, no, sir, this is the way we need to go, or to help you, you know, vet your inbox with all these opportunities, you know, because there's a bunch of shady motherfuckers that will shoot you things that look legitimate. And my mom always says, if it sounds too good to be true, it is. You know, there's going to be perhaps something that there's an important element within a proposal that might be missing, that someone on the outside, you know, that's not, you know, living on your hopes and dreams. Understand, I need to say that again. You need someone on the outside who's not living on your hopes and dreams to help you vet these opportunities and these different situations, to help you meld your plan and all the elements of your plan together to move forward successfully.
He didn't even sell himself to us. He basically asked us a general question, saying I'm really confused at the whole conversation now. Basically, he said that he didn't know if he wanted to go digital or whatever. Then he said that he did go digital, but he didn't really have success. The first thing he should have said was, I have an artist, they didn't have any success, but they are performing at the XYZ Festival alongside Mario, Fantasia. That would have piqued our interest right off the board. Like, I'm totally bored with this conversation right now. This is what I'm saying. And the average publicist or manager is going to tell you that. They're not, like, a real decent person is going to tell you that, like, listen, you're boring. At the end of the day, you have to sell your artist. If he's the manager and he's not bringing any type of charisma to this conversation, the average person is probably going to say, oh, I'm going to take your money, I'm going to promise you something, and they don't even pull through.
And that's exactly why I said what I said. That's exactly why I said what I said, is that, you know, the level of – I dissected it differently. Yeah, you know, yes, the presentation was blasé. I agree with that. However, the level of the question and the type of question indicated to me that, okay, he's ready and he needs someone like you to help him.
Right.
He needs someone to mold him as the manager. To
but
help
he's
drive
the manager.
His project.
That's what I'm saying. A publisher.
But he's not a publisher.
Okay, I get it. But he's the manager. So you're paying. So he's the manager. He's investing. A manager is supposed to make you money. Regardless, if you're a business manager, your business manager is supposed to make you money. The publicist is supposed to basically, a publicist is basically a person who does a spin, whether it's bad or good. If you fuck up in the street, they're supposed to clean your shit up and basically get you gigs and basically create and maintain that persona. I'm not sure. A manager, a publicist doesn't babysit. She doesn't get gigs. She or he or she doesn't get gigs. That's what a business manager is for. Hello?
No, yes. No, that's not it. Business manager doesn't do that.
No.
Business manager just deals with the function of money. There's a big separation between a personal manager, business manager.
Okay, well, let me repeat this. A manager. A manager is supposed to, that's why the manager is getting 20%, because they're basically managing your career, making sure your career takes it to step level A through lexicon, is what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, manager, a business manager, whatever he is, whatever his title is, investor, that's what he sounds like. He honestly sounds like an investor to me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he's just calling himself a manager. He's basically saying, you know, this, that, and the third. Basically, he's asking us, how can we do his homework? Is what I'm
well,
saying.
Thing,
how
Adam,
do we know what
and
his
and
homework
I
is?
Think,
I'm just saying. I'm just keeping it 100. I'm from New York City. Hey. I haven't seen it all. I haven't been down there every, you know, so I haven't seen it all. I haven't
listened
to
fine.
Whole
and I do
malarkey. I'm just saying.
I do appreciate your honesty.
A shady person is going to tell him, oh, I got you, is what I'm trying to say, because he sounds gullible. This is what I'm trying to say.
No, well,
I'm sitting here
here's
and
the
listening.
Thing is, and I understand, and here's I apologize if there was some confusion in the beginning, but I never step unless it's planned. So as far as, you know, as far as falling in for these gullible schemes and everything else, I have plenty of opportunities, and I just bypass them because of the fact that unless I know it is the right move, or at least the right move in my sight, as far as my knowledge, I believe this is the move that I should make. I don't make the move. Now, my original question at the beginning was digital versus should I continue on the digital or should I focus on the the streets. It wasn't
but we just
whether
told, we all three of us all four of us just told you.
Right.
You admitted that you didn't have any success, major success digitally, and I asked you what is your street or hometown buzz like, and you couldn't answer. So and then after we basically after Rikers and then the I'm sorry forgetting your name, basically asked you a couple of questions, you basically offered said that your artist is performing at XYZ festival alongside Mario, Fantasia, etc. You didn't give us any intel, details,
right.
When, where. We had to pull that out of you. That's right there.
The
I'm frustrated.
Well, that's and that's fine, and that's cool. But here's the thing: is this blog, this broadcast here? I was under the impression it was just for me to listen to y'all. I decided to go ahead and give a call.
But you asked
and,
a question.
Right,
you
and I did
a
ask
question.
A question, and I got the answer to my question, but I did not want to come asking you guys for your services. I did not want to go ahead and start promoting
nobody offered
my
their
artist
services.
Because this is not –
Nobody
this
offered
is,
their
no.
services, you said.
What I'm saying is I did not want to come so asking for your services because you guys get bombarded with that, I'm assuming, on a daily basis.
Nobody's offering their services as far as I'm concerned. I don't hear that. He basically said you need a publicist. That was a suggestion. He didn't offer his,
right.
He didn't offer his services. I never offered my services.
But it almost
you
seems
asked several questions, and we gave you several answers. And we all came to the conclusion
as if you're
as
telling
yourself,
me.
And we were correct.
Madam, don't eat him up. Don't eat him up.
Oh my gosh, I'm
no,
done.
But it almost seems as if you're telling me that I needed to sell myself. I need to tell you about my artist,
sell,
accomplishments, and so on and so
yes.
forth. But that's
sell
not what the
artist.
Purpose was of this broadcast.
It's
not for me to come and sell myself. It was for
you
me
asked,
to listen.
Listen,
to
sir, you asked like 10 questions in different formations. We gave you 10 answers in different formations from 4 different persons. What do you want to say? What do you want us to say? We gave you our experiences. You agreed, and you're still talking.
That.
You went back from M to back to A and B. I'm confused. I'm saying
so
I'm frustrated because are you a manager? Are you an investor? What are you? I'm confused. Like, you just wasted a whole bunch of our time. We could have took a call from another person who basically seemed hungry. You don't even seem hungry or passionate about your clients. Is what I'm saying.
Here's a question. Then I apologize for wasting your time.
I'm not answering
your
questions.
Other speakers,
I'm listening.
As far
Done.
As the other speakers, do you guys feel like I've wasted your time as well? Or
you wasted my time. I'm only speaking for myself.
No.
I'm done.
No, because you
I don't feel like you wasted my time.
I'm sorry. He wasted my time because Rikers and you just answered him, gave him great, solid advice, and he's like going backwards. I'm confused.
I don't feel like my time was wasted.
You got artists. You manage them, but she don't feel like you sell the product. Like you got artists. Okay, I get 2 artists on the street right now. Said I manage artists, and what is it you manage? You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't understand. Like,
he says he gets offered. Like, listen, he said he's been offered different avenues to go north, south, but he might chose to go east and west. Okay, we understand that. You explained that. But what is your vision?
Exactly.
I'm confused. I'm sorry. I don't know. Maybe you feel
like
he didn't waste your time, but I know for a fact you gave him solid advice. You explained to him 3-4 maybe different scenarios, if I'm not even making this up, and dude is like confused. I'm confused. Sorry. Confusion causes conflict. I'm done. I'm not answering no more questions. I'm just listening. I appreciate you guys' time. Nice to meet you and everything, but I can't listen to a whole bunch of communities.
Understand.
Period.
Yeah.
Thank you for your time. Thank you, madam. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
And gentlemen, I do thank you for your time. I've taken notes based on everything that you said. I'm definitely going to apply everything that you said as well. We do have a plan. We are focused. I got some of the info on the website. I guess it will have to be somebody like Madam because I guess my personality and Madam's is not working out too well. So it's going to have to be somebody like hers. But I did take your notes on the cloud scores, the high school tours, working with the DJs, when we make it, I'll take you with me. Having the catchphrase, all the great things that you guys mentioned. I do want to let you know that I did take notes, and I truly hope that none of the time was wasted. When I speak, I try to be as clear as I can. But I guess it wasn't as clear to some. Never claimed to have done well on the internet. I just simply stated numbers that we had. Never claimed that we weren't doing anything on the streets. I just wanted to make sure that taking a little break from the internet and focusing on the streets was a good thing to do. Simply, that's what I wanted. And you guys answered those questions. You gave me everything that I asked for. And I do thank you for your time. If you have any more advice you want to give, I'd gladly take it. Otherwise, you guys have given me enough apply here in 2013.
Well, thank you, sir, for your question.
Well, I mean, 5 seconds. I think you definitely got to get a publicist that's like, madam, only to the point you wasn't going to push your buttons. Just take that with a grain of salt. You know what? Nobody's going to be a yes man. You want somebody, when they don't see you going, giving your full potential, it's almost like a coach. If you're jogging, the coaches are like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Run, 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 run. I've always worked better with somebody who's probably a bigger asshole than I am. Not saying it matters. I like somebody who's more of a freaking menace than I am. So you would definitely want somebody who's going to push your
like her. You want somebody like her.
You want somebody like that.
But you want somebody like her.
You know why? You know why? And I'm going to say it like this. I've been in this industry for 100 years. Because that's the person that's going to go to that radio DJ, and he's not playing your record, and he's like, well, I didn't like it. Well, why? Well, I didn't like it. Well, why? Well, why? She's going to sit there and pray and literally threaten a man's life until he gives an answer. He goes, you know what? I'm going to be honest. I didn't even listen to it. Well, exactly. Now, you're going to play it next show, aren't you? And he's going to be like, yeah, because I don't want to hear from you again. That's why.
Madam is someone I would trust with my kid if I were an artist. I would trust her.
I think she's borderline crazy, and I think that's why you need somebody that fits that persona, because that's somebody who's going to push your button. And when you go to a presentation, like when you do a presentation with a marketer, like you have businesses, when you do your business plan, your marketing, you do a presentation, you got to do what we call like a warm-up. You know, you practice it. You practice that in front of her, you're like, oh, no, that's not going to sell. Now, the yes man's going to go, I love it. Yeah, you'll go there and be like, why didn't get the deal? Well, I mean, I don't know. Huh? She's going, that's not right. I'm not sold at the beginning. You got to sell me the first sentence. You know, the story got to be the first sentence when you write a story. They got to know what's going on in the first, like, two sentences. So she's going to be like, why I don't know what's going on in the first sentence? Why I don't know what's going on in the first two sentences? Why they're not on the street working? Like, that's why you want a publicist who's going to, like, be a friend, but who's going to be a mentor as well. So, you know, again, that's with a grain of salt. That what she just did was very good. I mean, I'm going to give you a great example. If you have a chance, go to the internet and look up, damn, Choke No Joke. Everybody knows Choke. And
Choke
look,
Hardy is my friend since I was 13. You're definitely not wasting his time.
Right. Now, perfect. Grab Choke and look up Dame Dash. I think Dame Dash versus Kevin Lau. And Dame Dash did what she just did. Well, why is Jay-Z performing? I don't know, and I'm his man, and I got to run. And they won't give an answer. He chased them around that whole damn office, and Choke is following with the camera until he got an answer. And when he didn't give an answer, he called them out, you bitch-ass mother. And they were like,
it's called Death of the Dynasty.
Right, Death of the Dynasty. Look that up on YouTube, and this is why you don't. This is why we have a Jay-Z, honestly. This is why you have a Jay-Z, because Dame Dash wasn't that type of person. Jay-Z would never made it. No one could say Jay-Z would have because we know it's a lie. Biggs Burke had the bank account, and Dame Dash was the ultimate asshole. That's why we have Jay-Z to this day, because Jay-Z had a madam. I'm not calling you anything funny. I'm just saying that personality is what you want. See how she just gripped that? You're like, this chick is crazy. That's what you want, because
no,
she
I'm
would
not
go
crazy.
To war.
I'm just, I don't
know.
I'm just
I don't
not
know
tolerating bullshit.
You know, what's the word called?
I forgot. Sorry,
I thought you just said bipolar or something.
No,
I'm sorry.
No,
you
want
because of the college bullshit.
Whatever, I'll
really,
own it.
You want a girl like Madam. Honestly, if you're in that area, you want a girl like that because she's going to make sure, as a publicist or PR, she's going to make sure the DJs get your music and play it. She's not going to take a note like, well, I didn't play it. She's not going to take that. Well, I listened to the radio from 7:30 to 9:30. Why didn't hear that show on the mix? Why didn't I hear my song on the mix show? A person who's soft is going to sit there and get bullied in the industry. A person like that, what she just did to you, is a person who's going to get you results. So, again, you don't want someone who's going to be a yes man to you because you need a black key. Like the gentleman said, you need a partner at this moment. Right now, you're in a level where you need a partner. Like most management firms, I mean, managers have firms. They're like, there's not one manager, there's a bunch of them. Right now, you need a partner. And you want somebody who's not going to be a yes man. You need somebody who's going to push your buttons, push the artist, and push the people around you. So, again,
You think Benny Medina's nice? I don't freaking think so.
Yeah, you are nice. I mean, that what you just did was perfect.
You think Russell Simmons was nice to run DMC?
No. He was nice to run,
like
but
you
he
said,
didn't
you think Dame Dash was nice to Memphis Bleek and Jay-Z? Or
nope.
You think Dame Dash was taking Leo Cohen's snide remarks? I don't fucking think so.
Yep. And that's
you think
that
Diddy was taking? You think that Diddy was taking bullshit from Carl Thomas, Notorious B.I.G., etc., Faith Evans? I don't fucking think so. You think that Don Poo Cummings was taking bullshit from Mary J. Blige? I don't fucking think so.
I could
go on. You think that Shakur Compere was taking bullshit from Dana Owens, FKA Queen Latifah? I don't think so.
You just sound like
a pacifist. And in this game, in an industry game,
you gotta be a shark.
They're like pit bulls. You have to be very smart, very, very witty, and very, sometimes you just, you might not have to, you can't,
you
sometimes you might not see, you
yeah,
might not see
asshole.
Rainbows and licorice, but at the end of the day, long as the job gets done, and it gets done, and your artist is out there, and you're seeing billboards, and shit is done, and Funk Master Flex is interviewing him, or Charlamagne Tha God is interviewing him on MTV Jams 212 on Sundays from 11 to 1 p.m., that's when you know your shit is done, because your people that are behind the scenes, your publicist, your manager, or your team is basically gorillas, period.
Yep.
You think Kevin Lyles, you think Mona Scott are nice and giving you rainbows and licorice when 50 Cent? I don't think so.
Yeah. Monica Anders with Jim Riley. She's brutal.
They were brutal people. Very brutal people.
Yeah.
So again,
but
I mean,
I have to
great luck with your artist, but you know, definitely look for a publicist and like that personality she just gives you, you want that, because you don't want somebody who's going to disagree with everything you say. You want somebody who's going to be fight back with you, but also is going to give you advice. But they're not going to just lay down and be like, yeah, that's a great idea, boss. Like, we passed the slavery. This ain't the Django. You know, it was like, yeah, boss, I like what you're doing. No, you want something. I'm like, no, I don't like that. I think we could go harder. I think we got to.
You spoke about Choke, right, earlier. You think that when Choke is a celebrity booking agent, you think that when Choke books Lisa Ray from, she lives, her mainland is in Los Angeles, you think that when Choke books Lisa Ray or Takara or whatever celebrity, or even his whatever celebrity that he books, you know situations for. You think that if he comes to me as a promoter and he tells me $5,000 and I'm $5, $10 short, he's gonna tolerate that? I don't fucking think so. It's all about meticulous business.
Well,
no pun intended.
So madam,
sounds a little weak to me.
So, madam, I do have a question for you, madam, if you will take my question. It's not one of those. The question is pretty simple. Is they've spoken about you with great favor during this show, and
I appreciate the love.
Yeah, no, but the thing is,
I Googled
you
so I know you.
Oh, thank you.
Right, and you know the way you've presented yourself on the show and the way you've spoken everything, you know what you're talking about. And all of you know what you're talking about, which is why I've stayed on this show this long. Because of the fact that every piece of information that I received was valuable. So it was worth my time, so I stayed. And I would love to get to know more about you, madam, and to get and all of you. The only person I really didn't get the info from was madam, but I'd love to be able to get to know you a little bit more and see if possibly we can work together. Hey, you know, you say there's a lot of things that I'm not doing right, or maybe not speaking clearly on certain things. Maybe this is something you can help us. I don't know what your services are.
Is that me personally, when I have an artist, I don't manage people come to me and ask me to be their manager. I can't manage myself because I'm bipolar. So basically, what I'm saying to you, I'm just giving you some type of jewelry. I'm just telling you, in your hometown, if I'm from the Bronx, say I'm from Bronx, New York, and I don't have, just say, radio DJs on Hot 97 and Power 105, which are like hip-hop stations, and I'm, say, a rapper, Bobby Trends, Mr. C, Funk Master Flex, or, you know, whatever, Camilo on Hot 97, and then Sus oneself, Ty Boogie, et cetera, on Power 105, playing my songs or DJing my parties, something is wrong.
Right.
Like, you know, it's just like basically you need to invest in your hometown, because you always need to know where you come from in order to know where you're going. So basically, if you're from West Palm Beach, Florida, my little brother, Zeb Judah, and baby from Cash Money used to own a club out in West Palm Beach. It was called Knockout like seven years ago. It was a flop. And then one of my good friends, John Cantor, used to own, it was a club, it was a franchise in New York Club Envy. They have one in Lower Manhattan. They have one in the Hamptons. And they had another one in West Palm Beach. But it doesn't exist anymore. But it's just like, you need to know, you know, like, you need to know, you know, what party scene. If you have an R&B artist, you need to go to that radio station and say, you know, is the radio station giving a free show in the park? My artists need to go out there. They need to get have their T-shirts. They need to brand themselves. They need to give out a little snippet of CDs to the persons. They need to hit local or independent radio shops, hair salons, barber shops, which is always a great thing. Now, you know, whatever that in your culture that you do, it could be a tattoo parlor, whatever, and say to the guy, well, listen, I have this artist. He's really good. He plays some dope songs, so you take a listen. They might like it, and they say, oh, they turn around. They might start playing the songs in the seat, in the parlor, whatever. It's a tattoo parlor, whatever, barbershop, while they're cutting hair. And then their person named Jim might come in on Friday with three of his homeboys to get fresh for the club. And they say, well, whose song is that? That's, you got three more clients. But it's like out of sight, out of mind. So it's like you have to think. Like, it doesn't matter if you're a rapper, you're a car salesman, you sell weave hair, you make clothes, you're a makeup artist. As many clients you can get is clients. I don't care if they are two-legged, bipolar like me, whatever. Clients are clients. So you have to sell yourself. That's what I mean. Sell yourself. Market yourself. Brand yourself. Like, yo, I'm the best makeup artist. I'm the best A&R, I'm the best blogger, chocolate, she's the best model, I'm the best celebrity planner, and then when you build your core, start from your core, which is your home base, and, you know, you network and you grow with people, and, you know, magic happens. But when you sit there and you just say, well, I have a business plan, and I don't know really how to execute it, but then you tell them what your business plan is, and they're like, well, what do you really mean? Because you went from Scandinavia back to Africa, a person would get confused. That's all I'm saying. And I just got confused. So that's all I'm saying.
Well, I have to intervene because Blog Talk is about to kick us off. I would like to thank everybody for coming. Yeah. I've been on cruise control. I'm sorry. I took my medicine because today was my first day back to school, and it was a bit stressful on my arm. So I apologize, but I listened to you guys. Mr. Palm Beach, the show will be on my website, and normally when I do shows about artist development or whatever it is dealing with artists, I always blog about it. So if you're following me on Twitter, in the next 3-4 days, it'll be on there because we're going to do part 2 on Friday. And I have people from Atlanta calling in and stuff like that. So you can always go back and catch some key points that you may have missed. Rikers, I love you. Thank you for coming on. And
anytime for everybody.
Huh?
So anything for anybody and everybody.
Oh, I know. I know. So when I come to New York, I still, well, I don't eat hot dogs, but I'll take a beef patty.
You took a Slurpee, right?
Oh, I'm doing a Slurpee, but I need a beef patty. I can't do hot dogs, so.
All right, we're going to try to have to get you a beef patty.
Yes. You know, you got to tag along. Jerry, again, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for my article in Hype Magazine. Madam, thank you for coming on. And I feel so bad because I'm in a relaxed mode and I cannot remember the guy's name from, I'm just going to call him 561.
Yeah, no, it's JB. It's JB, it's fine.
Thank
What's
you.
What's your name?
I'm Chop Mommy. You can just call me Chop.
All right, like I said, hit me up on Twitter if anything, and like I said, you know, definitely take hope the best for you.
Oh, thank you. Okay. But like I said, part 2 is Friday because I knew it wasn't gonna be enough for just one show, and it's not. A lot of people tuned in, And a lot of people that didn't tune in, they're going to be hitting me up tomorrow, asking me all kinds of fucking questions. And I'm just going to be like, yo, your dumb ass should have listened last night. I guess you'll go back and listen to 3 hours of fucking archives and be first in line on Friday.
There you go.
I enjoyed it.
Everybody have a good night. And like I said, keep shooting for the stars.
And I'll be back.
Thank you. You are.
I'll be back Friday at 9:30. And if Rife isn't in or not fucking looking at New York Knicks games and Mello and KJ, KG.
They're trying to get Hokumruk into the Hall of Fame, Basketball Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
It's a what?
We're working on getting Holcomb Rucker has been nominated for the Basketball Hall of Fame. Rucker, the Rucker Park, 155th. Shout out to Ed Persistence. Bothered and basically the Hall of Fame committee so bad they put Holcomb Rucker on the Basketball Hall of Fame nominee list. That's our next project for the next month.
Well, what you said his name was?
Holcomb Rucker. He's the
I wonder if that's my girlfriend Imani Rucker's granddad.
Ooh, that could be scary. I don't know how many children they got, but let's hope they're floating around. But, yeah, Holcomb Rucker, he created the Rucker Park in 1946.
No, because that's her granddad started the Rucker Park. Her name is Imani Rucker.
There's a Sharif Rucker who recreated a Rucker High School in the Bronx, and that's run by his grandson, Sharif Rucker.
I'm going to ask her if that's her dad.
If it is, get to Shock Mommy. I don't want to give my information over the net, but get to Shock Mommy and I get my information, and I'll get her through to the rest of them.
Her name is Imani Rucker, and I believe she said her granddad started the Rucker game.
Then she's part of Chris and Sharif generation.
She's like in her late
30s. That's possible.
Chris
is like 40, so, and Sharif is early 40s. So that's
I would say she's like 39.
That's
40.
Possible. She's right in that ballpark. She's right in
she's
that
from
age.
Harlem.
Range.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's crazy.
And dude knows
my best friend Choke. This world is so crazy. Thank
Choke
you, Chalk, for the connections. Why
yeah,
is
Artie
crazy-ass
Weedle
psycho? Now, he's psycho.
Yeah, I knew Choke for a while. He used to mess with, we did Four Corners. When we started our 4K newspaper, I used to always bump at him, and, you know, that's how we built the relationship from that.
Choke is dope.
Yeah, we're going to chop it up for sure.
Yeah, definitely. All right, everybody have a good night.
You know, we need to have Choke on the show for Chocolate Show.
Yeah, right. air out a lot of fugaziness in the industry. That would be a funny show.
He went from drug dealer to A&R to producer to director and producer, film director and producer, and he works for BET. He's crazy. Booking agent.
There you go. That's how you do it.
And he's right from Eatonwell Projects in Bronx, New York.
Go figure.
We'll see.
I didn't know he was from the Bronx. I always knew.
Yeah, he's from Eatonwood.
Oh,
I've known Choke since I was 12. Because his third girlfriend was in my class.
Oh,
and that's how I met Artie. They call him Artie Choke.
Oh, I don't know who Artie is. Who's Artie?
No, they call him Artie Choke. That's
oh,
how
they call him Artie Choke. Oh, wow, that's
like
funny.
Artie Choke,
like the
vegetable. That's
yeah,
how he
that's
got
funny.
The name Choke No Joke. And then he changed it when he got to Rockefeller to Choke No Joke because Dame had enlisted him because he was producing videos for Vince Leake and all of them.
Wow.
And remember that BET series Uncut? They used to come on at 3 o'clock when, you know, BET back in the days. He did a lot of those videos, those X-rated videos.
Oh yeah, I remember those.
Yeah,
those are good days.
Yeah,
that was.
I've seen Choke, like I said, go from drug dealer to hustler to producer to red carpet.
Wow.
And he's rapping now too. I don't know if you know that.
No, I didn't know that. It just shows you how you can go full circle. Wow, I've never saw that